Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 107. My name is Chris Fricchio, and I'm here with Travis Baum.
Sup, yo.
And Jeff Torney.
Word up.
Man, that's going to take some getting used to. That's my first time actually introducing you on the show, Travis, I think.
Aww.
Like, as an official, in an official fashion.
Isn't it exciting?
I almost said Jason A. Stryker. Travis, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, buddy. Pretty good. You know, nothing's really going on very interesting today. Just a boring week. Working hard. That's pretty much it, Jeff.
All right. Jeff, how you doing, man?
Same here, except minus the working hard part. Really.
Hardly working. This is more like
slacker.
We finally got a little bit of snow, and it's freezing today. Holy crap. We had the record-breaking November that we had last month, and this December has been pretty cold, especially today. It's in the minuses. I don't like that.
Yeah.
It's not cool. Not cool at all.
If you moved to Georgia, you wouldn't have to worry about it.
It's true. But, yeah, that's it. Nothing exciting going on here. Nothing this way.
All right.
Chris?
Cool. I was gone last week because I was in Florida, and I got to hang out with Kill9 and...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And Kelly down there in Florida, and along with Double O Recon. We had a pretty good time. We didn't really... What's that? Yeah, Reconfest. We didn't really do much, though. We had a relaxing weekend, and that was exactly what Crystal and I wanted. Friday night, we just went over to their place and hung out. Played some Rock Band a little bit. We went out for dinner, met up with Recon later, and we played some Street Fighter, played some Tekken.
Played a little DDR, didn't you?
Yeah, I played a little DDR.
That video was awesome.
Dude, Kill9 is a freak on that thing. I was just like, how do you move your feet that fast? That's like the first time I played DDR in like 3-4 years. So I was, we were playing songs that
what
I would
Ricky,
normally.
I mean, what did A Striker call it? The Ricky O'Bounce or something?
The
like
Indus
that.
Chris Bounce? It was that's actually a joke
awesome.
From bowling. Cause when we went bowling, he took a video of me, throwing a shot. And, when I step up to the line to bowl, I bend my knees a little bit. And I kind of like bounce a little bit just so I remember to bend my knees when I roll, go up to throw the ball. And they yeah. were all laughing about it. But,
do you just say so you remember to throw the ball?
No, so I remember to bend my knees when I throw the ball.
Oh.
Yeah, so I remember to, I bounce, so I remember to throw the ball. Yes, that is the way it works, Jeff. Awesome.
Like, I'd love to see videos before you put that into motion.
If I don't bounce beforehand, I just keep the ball and I fly down the lane with it. It's awesome. You ever see Tom and Jerry? Yeah, it's like that.
Yeah.
Hey, can I give some shots out to Recon, though?
Go for it, man.
Did you see the awesome Twilight poster he got me?
Yes, I did, because I brought it back.
And he got my wife that awesome Boondock Saints 2 poster.
Yeah, no, it was awesome.
Oh, nice,
it was
awesome. Nice.
She's so lucky. Oh, no, wait a minute. Swap that around. It was my Boondock poster.
Uh-huh. Yeah, sure it is. Well, I know you got that Twilight
budget?
Poster in your man cave. I know how it is.
I may be rocking the Edward. He's a character in Twilight.
Oh, okay.
If you're married to my wife, you have to know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that. So,
yeah. So.
But yeah, that's about it for me. Before we move on, we should. I wanted to actually say that we officially have our new website out at interactivedistractions.com, and we've been throwing
Damn it,
up.
My faith is right out the window.
Why?
I was waiting for it's a website.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that was, no. Well, he had said website right before. And I, was like,
I know. That's what I was
yeah, yeah,
it
would have been overkill.
I was going to say website, and I was like, okay, when should I cut in and say this? And then he started, I'm like, oh, no, here it comes.
All right, well, should I say it differently? InteractiveDistractions.com has been relaunched.
It's there.
No, it's messed up now.
It's past
yeah,
there. Exactly.
Keep rolling.
But yeah, we've been, throwing up articles that we thought were interesting, and hopefully that's going to continue. We got our first review out, and I think there's going to be more reviews coming soon. I believe.
Yep.
I believe actually both Jeff and Travis are working on one. Is that correct?
Yep. I'm working on a Dragon Age review.
Nice.
To have up by the end of the weekend.
Sweet. Okay, cool.
Yep. I hope to have the game finished up by the end of Saturday, hopefully, depending.
Finished up? Like beating it?
Yeah, like beating the
no
game.
No doubt. No kidding.
I think. Yeah, well, when we get into. get into what we've been distracting us. I'll explain why I think I'm almost done. But
okay. All right, cool. Well, I think that's a good lead-in.
I guess that's a good transition.
Yeah, it's like, Travis, what's distracting you, man?
A lot of games, man. I play a lot of games.
I hope so. This is a gaming podcast, after all.
Jeff said, well, the last guy I took over for didn't play that many games, so.
He played Street Fighter.
He played a lot of Street Fighter, and that was about it.
Well, you know, my mandatory Modern Warfare was the first thing. I've been playing that nonstop. Got up to level 47. I'm creeping up on 48 on my adventure to level 70. So, playing a lot of that. Going to continue playing a lot of that. More Assassin's Creed. I'm still trying to finish up that game. Repeat told me that Ubisoft had a special little, you know, their own little, like, their own achievement. Mm-hmm. Type thing called Uplay, and if you sign on to that little, you can sign in through the menu screen, and when you do that, you can pick up these little options. It's in beta, so not everything's open, but one of the things you can do is unlock special things that I never would have noticed unless, you know, Pete had said something, and you can unlock new throwing knives. You can actually get Altair's costume from the first game, which you can't get by playing the game normally, which That's is cool. really neat. Okay. So, it was something new that I found. It was really fun, so thanks, Pete, for that.
And what took them so long to start doing this?
I don't know. I'll be honest with you, none of it is, I mean, it's neat. I wouldn't buy a game for it.
Oh, no.
But it does add not, to something. To
yeah,
add
like when achievements first came out, the big thing was, what do they do? And everyone's like just going to stare each other up. Nothing. Yeah. The whole EP-ness thing started, but giving you something at least gives you something to be like, hey, I got, you know, I'm going to search for all, how many feathers are in that game? 50?
100.
More than that. 100?
Hey, it's better than the flags in the first one. What, like 500 fucking flags in the first
game?
Yeah,
that was ridiculous.
If you're going to get something out of it, then I'm more inclined to actually go ahead and search for that stuff than to be you know what? I don't really need that 20 game points score. Like,
you know, every time I would get an achievement, like finish a chapter, it was, you know, give me my 20 gamer score points for Xbox. And then on top of that, this little thing would pop up, you know, saying you play, you got, you know, 5 U points. And I was like, oh, okay, I don't know what that is, but I don't really care. I got my achievement, Joe.
How many to trade in so you can get one a date with Jade Raymond?
So that was Assassin's Creed, you know, just trying to polish off that game. Okay. About 6 hours into Dragon Age Origins, I think the bug has bitten me. I think I'm at the point where I want to, you know, at least every day get a little bit of that game in.
Cool.
I'm enjoying that, just, you know, but I'm still kind of early on, like 6 hours in. Haven't changed characters. I stuck with my human warrior, you know, kind of just very basic, but working on that story, I'm enjoying it. Madden 10. Love my Madden. Playing my sports ball, but I won't bore you with that. I know you want to talk about it, Chris, but
the Saints still undefeated.
Yeah, 12-0, man.
Nice.
Who that?
Think they can do 16?
You know what? I told myself I was not going to get. I wasn't going to be crying undefeated season unless we beat the Patriots, and
beat the Patriots, so.
Yeah, so now I'm like, okay.
They don't really have anybody else.
Who else do they have left?
The Cowboys are really the toughest game. We got the Atlanta Falcons this week, and hey, I'm going to that game Sunday. They have Carolina Panthers who are trash, but the Cowboys are the last really, really good team. So anyway. Yeah.
Well, the Saints almost got beat by Washington, so I wouldn't say anybody's trash right
Washington
now.
Washington is the best 3-9 football team in the NFL. Right?
Yeah, I bet they are.
So anyway, my wife, we got a package at the door, and I found it. And I was like, hey, what's this? And it said Amazon on it.
You found it, or you looked down when you opened the
door? She was like, all right, open it. She was
Look
like,
what I found.
Up. She's like, open it up. I'm like, all right, cool. So I open it up, and hey, Left 4 Dead 2 was in the box.
Oh,
so
nice.
Yeah. So I played that a little bit. My experience hasn't been as good as I would want it to be, because it is, you know, Left 4 Dead 1 with more enemies. It's more hectic. And, you know, melee weapons. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, more things, you know, that go with it, but for the most part, it's more the same. But I was expecting that because I was hearing a lot of, you know, critics, you know, say this should have been, you know, DLC in the first place. You know, it's not much of a evolution, which it really isn't. But I've been having some really bad games playing with randoms because no one has bought this game.
Really?
No one has come. I have not seen one person.
It sold almost a million copies.
Really?
In November, yeah.
Well, no one on my friends list has it, and it's been hurting because the past 2 days I've been trying to play. I've been getting the matchmaking has set me with some terrible people. They have been absolutely horrible, and they just want to stand around. They just want to bullshit and not have a good time, and it's forcing me to not have a good time. And so until I can get some, you know, a good party in there, that's when I'm really going to be able to, you know, get into the meat of the game, actually finish a campaign, because it's the game's a lot harder than the first one. You can have a bad party and finish the campaign, or at least get to the finale. Left 4 Dead 2 is so hard. They throw so many special infected at you at once. Like, you know, you'll be in the first game, you would probably get, like, you know, a tank. And then, you know, after you kill a tank, then a smoker will pop up or something. But, man, they'll throw a smoker, a tank, a jockey at you all at once. And it is merciless. And I'm playing on normal. Usually it shouldn't be this hard. But I don't know if it's the game itself, the AI director, or if it's, you know, the people I'm playing with. Or maybe I don't know how to play the game right. I don't know. So,
but it's a combination of all of them.
maybe. So, you know, Left 4 Dead 2, I'm on the fence for it. But it's a good game. It looks pretty. You know, I like it. But I just want to have some better games.
So, okay.
That's me.
That's it?
That's it, baby.
All right. Jeff, go for it, man.
All right, cool. Well, the first game, as we commented before, was Dragon Age. I think I'm almost done the game. I know, like, I do have the strategy guide, but I haven't been reading forward in the strategy guide. I use the strategy guide to build my character at the beginning and to see a good path of what skills I should choose, just because I'm RPG tarded, and I usually end up building the totally wrong character I should be, and about halfway through the game I realize my character sucks, and yeah, and there's no way to respec in the game, so I'm like, to make sure I need to do this. And then I would just, like, kind of go with the quest I'm going on, put a bookmark of the strategy guide just in case I need it. But from where it is and on the quest line, I think I have one more main quest to do, but it looks like it could be pretty long. So it could be anywhere between like an hour and a half to 5 hours. I have no idea. But this is the thing. I'm only at about 27 hours of the game. So keep in mind, I do not do any of the reading stuff. Like whenever you pick up someone's journal, or if you pick up a codex or anything like that where you can just read a bunch of backstory, I don't do that. Because I'm just like, I'd rather be playing the game than reading stuff. I want to read it, read a book kind of thing. And I have been doing a lot of side quests. And the reason why I haven't been doing a lot of side quests is because sometimes you get penalized for doing side quests. Like, I had Morgan in my party for the entire time, and I just picked up a side quest. She's like, oh, great. Now what? Are you going to help out everybody in this village? And then it gets like -5 Morgan because she disapproves. And I'm
what?
Like, what? You fucking whore. Like, so now I'm like, do I take the side quest? Do I talk to this person? Like, who am I going to piss off? So I basically told myself I'm going to beat the main game and then save a save point close to the end and then do some of the side quests. So, yeah, when you read in reviews that people say this game takes like 40, 50 hours in one playthrough without doing a lot of side quests, take that with a pretty big grain of salt. Because, like I said, I'm at 27, and I'm guessing, I'm going to throw it here, we'll know next week, I'm guessing I have 3 hours left.
Wow,
so,
really?
That's what I'm guessing, yeah.
Okay.
Which is still not bad. I mean, the longest role-playing game I ever beat was probably about 27 hours. That was probably KOTOR. And I did the evil side, which is a lot shorter than the good side.
Right.
Like, I went Sith instead of Jedi, so.
Okay.
But yeah, so I'm hoping to have a review up on the site, hopefully by the end of the weekend anyway. I'll have to get one of you guys to go through the torturous
editing
of editing my thing, because that's gonna be fun.
We have someone for that.
That's right. I'll send that over to your wifey.
There you go.
Yay.
Cool. What else you got?
Yeah. Played a little bit of God of War Collection.
Love it.
It's so good, but I'm going so slowly. Like, Scott Sauer from the Guzman, like, he's almost done with the first one. You're further than I am. And I'm just like, I feel like I'm not playing this game enough, because I am hard, like, I may be a couple hours in to the first game, and I want them all completed by the time 3 comes out. So I
Dude, you're supposed to be the one that wants to bend over for Kratos. What the hell, man?
Oh, I know. But I've beaten the games, though, probably about 3 times each now, so
oh, okay.
I'm kind of, like, I'm not in any rush, especially right now with all the games coming out. Actually, I downloaded a PC game. For the
oh my
first
goodness.
Time, like, and not including the good old games that we do, like, every month. Like, I actually I made a Steam account and downloaded a game because I was sick and tired of hearing about Torchlight and how much it's like Diablo. Mm.
Oh, I was going to say it had to have been Torchlight because I've heard you talk about your shit computer so much.
Yeah, my computer
has to be Torchlight.
So crap. And I'm like, listening to so many podcasts, reading so many reviews saying that this game is, if you like Diablo, you really like this game. But I've heard that line all the time. If you like Diablo,
a lot
like
of people
game.
Have said that about a lot of different games.
Yeah, like people said that about, what's that one for computer? I can't remember what it's called, but it's. A lot of people compare it to Diablo for the PC. I played that for a bit. I didn't like it at all. This is going to bug me what it's called now. But anywho, so I downloaded the demo because I'm like, well, they say it runs on almost anything. And it ran like pretty much perfectly on my PC, like full settings and everything. The only thing it had off by default was the V-syncing, which isn't that big of a deal. So I was like, all right, let's try the demo. Played the demo for literally 25 seconds to 30 seconds. And was like, okay, I'm buying it. So
nice.
I downloaded it, bought the game, and I'm probably at level 10 right now, a few hours in. And that game literally is Diablo. Like that, it's made by the two guys who originally created Diablo 1 and 2, mm-hmm. who have since left Blizzard, and they went on to make they made Mythos, I guess, that they had to drop. But actually, some Korean company picked it up, so that's actually still coming out. But yeah, so literally down to the music is very Diablo-esque. It's got the same guy who did the music for Diablo 2. The sound effects are very Diablo. Like when a gem or a ring drops, it is that little ding. So you a gem or ring is there. The way that the inventory system is pretty much exactly like Diablo, but a lot more streamlined, easier to use, thank God. There's even the mana and health pools randomly in the levels. Like Diablo 2, which is pretty awesome. Even the way that the loot structure is set up is Diablo 2. Like, if you like Diablo 2, you will love this game. The only problem is it's not multiplayer, which is kind of a bummer. Yeah.
But it's understandable because they put this out there to kind of fund their venture, MMO. Which is basically going to be an MMO version of this game or something.
Exactly.
Like
it's going to be pretty much the same game.
Super cool. You know, I mean, I'm totally for that, you know?
It's awesome, I'm wondering if I would like Torchlight, though, because, well, I've never played Diablo 1 or 2.
What?
So I was never a PC gamer.
How did you get on this podcast?
I was never a PC gamer by the time those games have, you know, had come out.
Yeah.
Okay.
I had moved on to consoles, so
you should
definitely try out
Diablo 2. You can probably get it cheap, but you really can. I think, you can pick up the Battle Chest Diablo thing. I think that's $40, comes with Diablo 1, 2,
and the
expansion.
You could probably find it for like $30 if you look.
Yeah, really? It's really fun. If you're willing to, if you want to, it runs on pretty much anything. I mean, the game's old, and it still holds up to this day. It's still, graphically, it doesn't look bad or anything like that. It just looks very
old
of its time. Yeah, exactly. But, Diablo 1, I don't think it holds up at all. Like, I tried playing that.
Diablo 2 does still look
Diablo
decent.
2
it's
still
not,
holds
it's not,
up.
It's not, yeah. it's not horrible. It's, like, no. it's tolerable mm-hmm. to go back and play with.
No. But yeah, it's really good, Travis. It's like, I really, really, it's addicting as hell. But it's one of those games where I feel you have to play multiplayer to get the full, what the developers wanted you to get out of it.
Right.
It's a loot whoring game. And it's probably the loot whoring game that put all loot whoring games on the map, as far as I'm concerned. Like, that got really, really popular.
Yeah, that's true, actually, I think.
And Torchlight is just, it's got a very WoW look to it, like World of Warcraft, the type of animation that kind of,
kind of goofy.
Kind of goofy, over-the-top artsy art style and stuff, but the animation is really slick. It's very colorful and pops, which is, that's, I guess, one difference, because whereas Diablo is really dark and, dingy and kind of hardcore, this is kind of, more cartoony and stuff. But it plays exactly the same, and it's got, side quests and stuff like that, similar to WoW, where it does the whole thing where you got the exclamation mark above the guy's heads, you talk to them, you go and do the thing, come back, and they give you a reward and stuff. And you do get a pet. So at the beginning, you get to pick either a cat or a dog. So the dog's kind of like a wolf-looking thing. And if you pick the cat, it's like a lynx. And this cat not only attacks for you and stuff, it also fetch loot, so you don't have to go up and pick it up. Also gold. You don't have to pick up gold. You automatically pick it up now when you just walk over it, which is awesome. So you don't have to spend 5 minutes clicking on every gold piece you see as you're going through a dungeon, which is annoying. But you can also give all your stuff you want to sell to your pet mid-dungeon and tell it to go sell it for you. So instead of having to set a town portal, which again looks exactly like it does in Diablo 2, set a town portal, you go out into the town of Torchlight and sell off your stuff. You just send your pet, and your pet will just disappear for 30 seconds. Then it comes back and goes, your pet has returned, and this is how much gold you got. which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, so that is
well, that's
cool.
Not, that's not realistic. Check it out, meow.
Yeah,
I got this dagger. Give me six
well,
gold,
dude,
baby.
Even more realistic, you can actually teach your pet spells. Like, if you find a scroll that teaches spells and you don't want it, you can teach it to your pet. So you're sitting there, your cat will be running around helping you attack shit, and all of a sudden, like, a lightning bolt will come out of its ass. And just like,
nice.
Well, it doesn't really come out of its ass.
Literally, like, out of his ass.
Like, you can, like,
how much
you teach
that,
it to shoot
how much
fire.
Is that on Steam, Jeff?
It's $20.
Really?
It's $20. The demo is free. You can go on Steam and you can download the demo absolutely free. Which I don't know how long the demo is. Like I said, I played it for, well, I kind of exaggerated. It wasn't really 30 seconds. It's probably like 5 minutes. But yeah, it was really good. And I know there's apparently a couple of modders out there who are working on a mod to patch in multiplayer, which would be pretty cool. I don't know how balanced it'll be because there is really only three classes and whatever. But I was really impressed. It was the first time in a long time where I've actually sat at my computer and played a game for a few hours at a time and didn't even realize it. I'd be like, yeah, I'm just going to try this game out. Next thing you know, I'm downloading it. Next thing you know, it's 1:30 in the morning. I'm like, wow, nice. This is pretty insane.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
A lot of people have been saying good things about it, man. It's on my radar. I haven't bit the bullet yet because there's just so much other stuff. But you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What else did I play? Oh, I played a little bit more God of... Oh, no, sorry, not God of War. Dante's Inferno. I downloaded the demo to that today.
Yes,
was released.
I did too.
Me
that,
three.
That is God of War. That
yes.
Is,
yes. Yes, it is.
That yep. Is
God of War in
God
hell.
War.
That's exactly what it is. Yes. It's fucking God of War in hell.
It's like,
that's
it's
what
like
this
being
game is.
Hades the entire game, basically.
Yeah.
That's what it seems like.
No shit. It's like it's got the same like static camera that doesn't move around. The left stick moves you. Right stick
right,
evades.
So dodges.
You have two attack buttons, and then you have a cross button that apparently does like attacks with the cross.
Yeah. It's,
you have a block button, and you can buy a power up that allows you to basically counterattack just like you do in God of War.
There's
so
a
yeah,
magic
it literally which, is God of War. It's crazy,
yeah,
but that's not a bad thing. I mean,
no, it's not. I mean,
if you're
going
to copy a fucking game, it might as well be God of War.
Yeah,
right.
Even to down to the colors of what you like, the chest that you open in God of War, you open the green chest for life, the
yeah,
green
and the
chest,
blue ones for mana,
green, whatever.
And,
yeah,
right.
Same as in Dante's Inferno, and that's not like you said, not a bad thing. This game is very, very solid as far as I'm concerned. Like it does do a good job of, that type of game, that kind of action.
It does a really good job of ripping off God of War.
Yeah, and I mean, like, okay, it's done by Visceral, which isn't, they're not the most original developers. Like, I mean, they made Dead Space, which was, I guess, original, but when you think about it, if you compare Dead Space the way it controlled and kind of looked to the Resident Evil games, like especially 4 and 5, well, I'd say more or less 4, but you can move, it's very much like that. And not a bad thing. I mean, a lot of people prefer Dead Space over Resident Evil 5.
Oh, I don't think Dead Space was very original at all.
Yeah, it's
they copied like
well, they copied
from, like,
Event Horizon,
Aliens. I mean, they copied like a lot of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with that because they're doing
it really well.
They're not throwing it out there to be like, hey, it's just cash in on what's doing well because they're taking
right?
their time.
Yeah, yeah. And I definitely don't want it to seem like this is, you know, to put them down in any way.
Well, I'm probably going to buy the game.
So. Yeah, oh, absolutely. Especially yeah. with the news that we're going to talk about later. You mm-hmm. know, there's no doubt that I'm buying this game now. You know, especially after I played the demo. Because I played the demo and I was like, this is very God of War. And it's like, okay, so if I can buy God of War in February and buy God of War in March, I will be a happy camper.
Yeah.
Right. You know? And that's kind of the way I'm looking at it right now.
And chances are God of War 3 will be better. So, I mean, this is just like, because there hasn't been a good game this generation that has really, there's been games that tried to be like God of War. There was like the Conan and Viking and stuff like that, which doesn't,
Viking was meh.
Yeah, they're crap. And
well, Viking wasn't crap. I did go through Viking. It was okay. Conan was crap. I'll give you
okay.
that.
Conan right. did suck.
But I was impressed with Dante's Inferno. Like they even threw stuff into Dante's Inferno that we just saw, like in the God of War 3 demo where you're riding on the ogre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gosh, mm-hmm. Like there's a part like that in Dante's Inferno, which was very similar mm-hmm. and really cool. But yeah, I mean, I'm interested in the story. I know, Travis, you said you were actually reading through the literature right now, the Divine Comedy right now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was the clip notes. I wasn't
right.
actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I don't have that kind of time. I
read it in college, but I don't remember much about it. And you know, I have a feeling that playing the game is actually going to bring back some of the make me remember some of the things that I read in when I read it in college. Because, I mean, it's you know, the whole nine layers of hell thing is really cool. And you know, I think I can't wait to see, because I have been avoiding the videos and stuff. Like, they've been doing tons of video previews for this, and I've kind of been avoiding them. You know, it's kind of like, oh, I think I watched like one or two of them. So I'm really looking forward to see what they do with each of the levels of hell, because it's going to end up being pretty cool, I think.
Yeah, no, with them being themed, it's going to be really interesting to see what they look like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and the demo alone in Dante's Inferno, which, by the way, is only out on PS3. When you guys listen to this, it's not coming out on the 360 Xbox Live until, I think it's 3 weeks from now.
Something like that.
Or in January. Like, it's an exclusive thing. But there are more nipples in the demo of Dante's Inferno than there is in the entire game of God of War 2.
This is true.
So
there's a lot of boobies.
There's a whole lot of boobies.
They're going through this, and they're like being like, all right, we got this. We're going to up the... Well, I haven't seen really... The gore has not been topped yet. I'm like... That's still, and I still think God of War 3, at least compared to the Dante's Inferno demo, does the whole QuickTime events better. Especially now that they put them in the right spot on the screen, where Dante's Inferno doesn't seem to do that.
Okay, you said God of War does it better.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay. Yeah. Dante's Inferno has the QuickTime events, same damn thing, but all of them are at the top. The one thing that I noticed about the Dante's Inferno is that the window of opportunity to hit the QuickTime events is much larger.
It's longer.
Than God of War.
And I like the use of the left analog stick, where one of the things you had to hit down and then up was your character made the motion of ripping his thing down and up and to rip the dude's head off, which is really cool. I thought that was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm impressed. Like, this is a game that was kind of on my radar back when it was announced at E3, I think, last year. Or something like that, and I was like, okay, they're trying to rip off God of War, whatever. Oh, wait, Dead Space developers?
I was in the same boat. It wasn't really on my radar, but I was kind of interested because of the plot line in general, because it's something that interested me. It's one of the few works of literature that I read in college that actually interested me, you know? Mm-hmm. So that right there got me interested. So I've kept an eye on it, but not a real watchful eye on it. So this demo pretty much sealed it for me. I definitely want to get this game.
Cool. Yeah, same here. I don't want to say it now, but I had it down to that and Darksiders, which I still have. Darksiders does look cool, but because of the dev and because of the publisher and stuff like that, I know I shouldn't really get my hope down because of the publisher, but I mean, it is THQ. Nothing wrong with THQ, but...
Love me some THQ.
Actually, you know what? I really shouldn't talk shit, because they've had some good games this year. I mean, Saints Row have always done
well.
Red
Faction, yo.
Red Faction, that's true. UFC... Wrestling game. Yeah, you know what? I should probably just take that back, because whatever. But it does look cool, but I mean, those were the two that were kind of on my maybe buy kind of thing before God of War 3, because the one that was also on that was the other game I played, which is the Bayonetta demo for 360, which came out last week. And that basically made it a definite buy once I played that.
Oh, no kidding.
I saw the comparison videos. I saw it running on 360 at like someone else who had like a Japanese account, whatever. But dude, like, have you guys downloaded it on both consoles yet?
I've played it on both consoles. Yes.
Oh, it's night and day.
It is night and day.
Holy
it is night and day.
Shit.
And this is something that I've mentioned before. It's like if you play the PS3 version and you're never exposed to the 360 version, then it's going to be fine for you.
Exactly.
But soon as you see the 360 version, ruined. Ruined. It's gone.
Exactly. It's not even like a thing where it's not even like Dragon Age, where I've seen both and I had the 360 version already, and I was like, I saw the 360 version, I'm like, this isn't that bad. And then I saw the PS3 version running, and I was like, okay, this does kind of look better and stuff like that. But I mean, it does got a frame rate drop, like a lot of more frame rate drops. So I'm not really bothered by which version I bought. But with Bayonetta, it was just like, oh my god. Like, I played the PS3 demo at Jason's place when we were there in Atlanta. And I was like, oh, I think I'm going to buy this game. I had a lot of fun with this demo. It's a really good game. And then I was like, eh, it doesn't really matter what version I get. And then, oh my god, I was like...
Definitely matters which version you get now.
What were they... Like, I don't know who Sega gave the PS3 version to do.
Well, no, that's the thing. Platinum Games made the game for 360. And then Sega themselves ported it over.
Was like the Sonic the Hedgehog team?
I have no idea, but all I'm hoping is that... you, well, I don't know if Sonic Team had anything to do with it, but the if they, you know, they basically, you know, owned up and said, hey, this is, you know, we're
Sonic Team's
our
a good developer,
fault.
But
yeah. But they, and they, apparently they're going out and getting help from Sony. So I hope that works out because,
I
feel bad for people who only have a PS3. I mean, they're going to enjoy the game, but they're not going to get the full experience from it because,
no.
And you know what really, I don't know about you, Jeff, but really, what really bothered me the most about the PS3 version of Bayonetta was how cloudy everything was.
Yeah, it just looked like everything had like a,
it was like a haze over it.
It was almost like a fog in like an N64 game, basically. Like it. It's like they're trying to cover.
Hey, that fog effect
up.
Was awesome. You leave it alone. Turok is the best game ever
but
made.
No, like, oh man, I could, especially the bright, like right when I started playing, like during the cutscenes, like I don't see any difference. But the second it popped up with that first screen where she's standing on that bright circular thing indoors, I was like, it just pops.
Yeah.
And then I started moving with
there's
her.
There's so much
like,
more color, and it just, it seems like everything's much more vibrant, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's, yeah, definitely if you are a multi-console owner, this is a 360 buy for sure.
And the game's getting great reviews, by the way.
Like, yeah.
At least in Japan
it is,
it's getting really good reviews.
Famitsu gave it a 40. I think
that's
number
nine
that they've given a 40. Something like that.
Something like that, yeah. So definitely on my radar. And that went to a definite buy day one after that. So Dante's Inferno, probably going to be another definite buy then. Sorry, Darksiders, you might have to go in the bargain.
Yeah.
We'll see. But yeah, that was basically been my week, man. Just a lot of drag. I know there's been... I played some Street Fighter, of course. And I actually played some Call of Duty as well, but other than that, that's it.
That's cool.
Cool.
Right. Well, I'll go through mine real quick. I got.
Oh,
got...
actually, no, I do have to talk about one more thing.
Son of a bitch!
I'm so sorry. I have to, because I haven't talked to... I bought this game like a month, well, not a month ago, and I have not talked about Mario Brothers Wii.
Oh, shit, dude.
Yeah,
talk about that.
So Tony and I finally, well, I picked it up finally the other day. It was on the weekend, and I was like, you know what, I need to start playing, because I would always go to the GameStop by my work, and they had it set up there, so me and the people working there would play a level here or there, and I'm like, I have this game, yet I've never really played it at home, but I'm playing it at the store on my lunch break.
That's fucked up,
this
dude.
This is ridiculous. So I'm like, I gotta start playing this game. So I started playing it. I played through the entire World 1, got to World 2. I'm like, this game's actually really, really fun. But I'm like, I haven't really done the co-op, so I called Tanya. I'm like, oh, we should play some Mario Brothers. She's like, alright, let's play. And the game, I went through the entire first world with only dying twice, and one of those deaths were just me being really, really dumb and just ran off a cliff.
Nice.
So I had, I think it was 20 lives going into World 2, once I set up World 2.
Wow.
And, because, the game is not, like, it's a hard game. Like, well, apparently it gets really hard. Like, single player's not too, too bad so far, but it gives you a lot of opportunities to get one-ups, like, a lot. So anyway, so Tanya starts playing. We're playing co-op. Let's just put it this way. By the time we were done playing co-op, I had about 10 lives left, and I was sleeping on the couch.
Oh,
so,
man.
It's like, wasn't that bad, but not saying she's bad at the game. Like, she's
you're moving out.
Games. It's that the game, the more people you have playing that game, it seems it gets that much harder.
Yeah, I've heard
and
that.
It's funny. It's not like a frustratingly hard. It's you're usually laughing the entire time and just kind of teasing each other and like not really yelling at each other. But it was a lot of fun. And it was like, I'm like, oh, dude, I want to try this with four people because it was just crazy with two people. I couldn't even imagine what it's like with four.
Yeah.
Do you find yourself purposely trying to mess with them? Or is that like just with two people? Or a lot of the a lot of the times you die, is it more or less an accident because of the two people trying to work together or
it's
just being on screen at the same time, to where if you had four people you're just gonna have more accidents?
I think that's a lot of it. It's like basically like you'll go to jump a pit and the other person you're playing with is on the other side of the pit already, but they'll jump to try to get something and you bang into them midair and then you just drop into the pit. So a lot of the stuff, it is accidental. Some of it is on purpose. Like there's a couple times I picked up Tony and threw her into a pit or whatever. But, and then, yeah, it's a lot of, I can see how it'd be a lot of fun. And there's a way to get good over that, because if you hit the A button, you turn into a bubble, so you can't fall into a pit. The problem is, if everyone turns into a bubble, that's like everyone dies. So you have to start off being
Because the other person has to pop the bubble, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I could see it being really, really hectic with four people, but a lot of the times when you die, like, multiplayer, you want to blame it on the other person, or it's because someone's trying to get ahead of the other person and they're not waiting for the other person or whatnot. But it's it makes for a good time. And I can see four people just probably having a blast with it.
Cool.
But
very cool.
That's it. Now you can go, Chris.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm positive.
All right, cool.
Actually, I have one more game. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead, Chris.
All right, so I got kind of 2 weeks to catch up on, but there's, you know, most of the stuff that I'm going to talk about, we've already talked about. Dante's Inferno, we already talked about. Fun demo. Go buy the game. Played some Phantasy Star in three different forms.
oh, what is really?
I played some Phantasy Star Zero on DS. I'm still, you know, getting along on that game as much as I can. It's like I don't go out of my way to play it because, you know, it hasn't grabbed me as much as like Phantasy Star Portable did, but, it's still fun. So I'm still playing that. While I was in Florida, me and Glenn and Zeus, Double Recon, played some Phantasy Star Portable. We all started new characters and, ran some missions and we all ended up getting up to about level 11 or so. So that was a good time. And then we downloaded the, Phantasy Star Portable 2 demo, which is, available in Japan, and played that. And man, I am so glad that the guys that did Phantasy Star Zero went over and helped out with that game because it is so much better. I mean, they've implemented the rolling. They've implemented a new, like a shield mechanism now. You carry around a shield with you and you can block. There's chain combos now where you can actually chain together with other people that you're playing with. You know, new special moves and stuff like that, new weapons. It's a great time. So I can't wait for that game to come out. God of War collection. So I bring my PS3 with me to Florida because, the resort that we're staying in, I know, you know, they have, you know, some really nice big screen TVs in some of the rooms. Apparently I didn't get one of those rooms. I got one of the rooms with the fucking standard definition TV. So I brought my PS3 and God of War Collection, which has high def versions of God of War, just so I could play it on a fucking standard definition TV. That was fantastic. And then Glenn got a chance to play God of War 3 demo on the PS3 when he was at my, you know, at my suite. And it's like, I'm sorry you're playing this on this shitty ass TV, but it still looks pretty good. So yeah, we played some of that. I did, I beat God of War, the first God of War. I think it was nice. Last night I beat it. I haven't started part two yet. I'll probably do that, tomorrow. I need to get all that shit out of the way in the next week or so because apparently I'm going to be playing a lot of Valkyria Chronicles starting pretty soon.
Yeah, and you better be beating that shit fast.
For real, yo.
For those who don't know, one of our listeners, one of our very gracious and very generous listeners, Nabishin, has put a challenge to four of the members of the podcast network, including myself. And the challenge is to start a new game in Valkyria Chronicles and beat it within 2 months, starting 12/16, December 16th. First one to beat it gets a game of his choice. And wow. Each of the members of the podcast that he is on also get a game of their choice.
I think that's only if someone beats it, the furthest person,
beats it in the 2 month period, then whoever got furthest gets a game. If someone ends up beating it, then every member of that podcast gets a game.
Wow.
So that's pretty awesome. So, I mean, right now I'm kind of looking at this as like, I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing this for all of us because it would be really cool if that worked out. On the same front, it's like, I feel bad because I don't want Nabishin to spend that much money on us, you know?
Right. I don't even know if I'd honestly like accept it. But, that being said though, it's like that guy, respect for him. Like that is like, that is so nice of him to do that.
Yeah, whether it works out or not, just to put the offer out there and, you know, whoever wins, that's very, very cool of him. So, you know, big props to Nabishin. You know, he's one of our listeners. We've heard a lot from him in the past and he's, you know, he's a great guy. So thank you very much for the contest that you set up and I'm going to do my best. I'm going to try not to let you guys down.
Yeah, well, you better not because I'm going to force you to play Halos.
Fuck. Now I have to beat it.
Should be more motivation than any type of game. You're going to have to play Halo.
I either finish Valkyria Chronicles or I have to play Halo.
No, dude, you got to give him a bad first-person shooter. Make him play Haze or something. Don't make him play a good first-person.
Actually, you know what? Haze is one of the only games that Chris, Jason, myself all played at one time.
That's together. Right. Besides, and we had a blast playing that shit, too.
Only because we were fucking...
All
I got
we were
sick
doing
of the
was
game,
shooting each other.
Shooting,
it was awesome.
I started shooting him in the face. It was just so funny. Like, when it first started happening, they had no idea what was going on. We'd be going through, like, a corridor. There'd be no enemies. And I'd shoot Chris in the back of the head. He'd die. And then I'd turn around, like, what the hell was that? And Jason would turn around and be like, what the hell was that? And I just kept doing it, and they eventually caught on.
And then it turned into one big, like, death match with just the three of us. It was fun.
Nice.
Yeah. All right, let's see what else I have.
I love Haze.
So, a couple new games came out on the PSN store today, and I picked up two of those games. One of them is Frogger Returns.
Why did you buy that?
Because I love Frogger. I've always been a big fan of Frogger. And it was only $5, so I was like, all right, well, $5, what the hell? And I picked it up, and it's Frogger, but it's like they basically doubled the size of all of the environments that you have to get across. So it's like in the first stage, you'll have like a street, and then you'll have this area with dogs running around that try and eat you. And then you'll have a lake, and then you'll have a conveyor belt. So instead of having just street and river, you'll have, you know, street, field, river, conveyor belt. It's kind of weird, but, you know, it's fun. If you like Frogger, you'll like it. That's pretty much the gist of it. I also picked up Pixel Junk Shooter. Which
nice. I want to hear about this because I think I might download it tonight.
I hate the name. I'm just going to put that out there.
Why do you hate the name?
Because I think it's...
Do you hate Pixel Junk or do you just hate the fact that it's called Shooter?
I hate the fact that it's called Shooter. It's like, oh, that's generic. I'm so glad you chose that one out of all the different entries that you had for your contest. But anyway, the game is very solid. Pixel Junk continues to impress me with the way they do things and, you know, their artistic ability, because the game is, you know, it's got this interesting level of polish. You know, it's not like the game looks fantastic, but the way everything is done is just artistically incredible. You know, it just looks very, very pretty everywhere. And, you know, the way they handled all the physics with the water and like the lava and stuff is really pretty impressive. The controls will probably take a little getting used to because it kind of plays like a twin stick shooter where you actually have to press a button to shoot. And I'm not sure if that makes sense or not. Basically, the left stick controls where you move. The right stick controls where you point, which direction you're pointing. And then you have to hit, R1 or R2 to fire. And then, L1 and L2 is basically like a grappling hook that, you know, you can rescue, workers that are stuck in the area, and you pick up little gems along the way and that kind of thing. Overall, it's you know, I've only played the first stage, so this is kind of an initial impressions thing, but I'm really impressed. This is already my favorite Pixel Junk game. And I've only played the first stage.
I guess to you that might be saying a lot. To me, it's not saying much.
Because you didn't really like Eden.
They bored me.
Yeah, you didn't really like Eden very much.
I didn't mind Eden. I was like, what the hell am I supposed to do? And I only played the demo mode. I didn't buy the entire game.
Yeah, I did buy the game, and it does get frustrating when you're all the way at the fucking top, and all of a sudden you miss one particular jump, and you're like, oh, let's go all the way to the bottom.
And I don't like tower defense type games, so obviously I didn't like monsters. And yeah. Racers is the only other one I think I might be interested in, but I've never played it, so I might... I don't know, is there a demo of that up?
To be honest, I don't know. But Racers is it's more about it's kind of more puzzly than it is racing, you know, because it's like it's like the tracks that like this car tracks that they used to have in the old days where you stayed in one track and you can kind of like flip lanes and that kind of thing.
That's what
it's like. It's like you're on that one of those tracks and there's like four lanes and you can flip in and out of the lanes. And you have to, you know, dodge the cars basically as you're going around the track.
So do you think they're going to have like one day they're going to release like Pixel Junk Puzzle and it's actually going to be like a first person shooter? Because it seems like they're not really what they advertise they are going
to
be.
The thing I'm wondering what happened to Pixel Junk Dungeons, because I believe that they were making something like that, and it's, you know, it kind of got my attention just because...
Well, it's not going to be about dungeons.
It won't be dungeons. It'll be something completely different.
It's going to be like a imagine real game or something like that. Like.
But yeah, I mean, overall, it's pretty solid, and it's a fun little game, and you know, I had fun playing. I'm looking forward to playing it, you know, again. So, and, you know, when I was getting ready for, when I was getting everything set up for the podcast, I finished playing Pixel Junk and then I just let the demo play in the background because the soundtrack, I just let the soundtrack loop because it was just, it's really, it's a really cool soundtrack. I really like it.
Nice.
Cool.
But, I'm trying to think, is there anything else?
Is there a demo for, out for that? For Shooter?
For Shooter? I think there is a Shooter demo, yeah.
I think they did say, yeah, there's going to be a demo available the same day.
Yeah.
Okay, and I'm going to have to try it out.
Yeah, because... give it a shot. And, you know, I think you'll be, I think you'll be happy with it. Cool. In my opinion, well worth the $10. Go out and get it. You know, it's good stuff. Let me think. I think that's it.
No, you have to talk at least about one more thing.
Because
I don't have news up yet.
I played DDR. We already talked about that though. No, I mean, that's all I played. So yeah. Jeff.
All right, we got some news this week. Quite a bit of cool news, actually. It's been a while since there's been a lot of news that we've actually really kind of cared about, really. But,
well, what you got for us then?
Borderlands. They came out with the Zombie Island a couple weeks ago for the 360 and PS3.
I played it on 360. It was fun.
Yep. And I know you and Jason and some other people bought it on PC are waiting for this to come out on the PC. And what's up with that? Where the hell is it? It's out now.
Yes, it is.
It finally came out. This kind of came out of nowhere, didn't it? They didn't even announce it. Just kind of was like, hey, and here it is.
God, I'm a dumbass. I totally forgot to say, hey, I played a shitload of Borderlands this week.
Oh, crap. I played it too, actually, now that I think about it.
But, we are awesome podcasters.
Yeah, we totally forgot Borderlands. But we played Borderlands. We'll listen to our Game of the Year show. It might get mentioned a couple times.
Just a couple.
Or a nomination show, whatever. But yeah, it's down. It's hitting the PC for the same price of $9.99. You can go pick that up. It gives you the whole, was it Dr. Ned's Island of Zombies, basically.
Yeah, Dr. Ned's Zombie Island.
The fuck is wrong with you? Oh, my cat just knocked down the Christmas tree.
What?
Nice.
Okay, well, I'm going to keep going.
Good kitty.
Retard, yeah.
Your cat's not Christian.
T, come do something with your cat. She tackled the Christmas tree. Don't yell at me. She did it, not me.
I am totally leaving all of this in here.
Nice.
And make me a sandwich.
Oh, he has to act tough when he knows it's going to stay in the pot.
Exactly.
You might not have been sleeping on the couch after Mario Brothers, but you sure as hell are now, baby.
Awesome. All right, so yeah, Borderlands, Zombie Island, finally hitting the PC. But while that's hitting the PC, there's more DLC hitting the Xbox 360 and PS3.
Damn
at the end of December. That's right. It is called Mad Moxie's Underdome Riot.
This is weird.
You gotta love the names of these things.
I know.
Basically, what it's gonna be is it's gonna add three arena-type situations in the game. People are... They haven't really said what it is, but a lot of people are suggesting it's gonna be like a horde mode, kind of like a Gears of War... to horde mode or firefight or something along those lines, where you get thrown into an arena. They're just going to keep throwing enemies at you and you're going to get loot from the enemies, which is cool. One of the big selling points is you're finally going to get a bank to put your items in.
That is huge.
So that is pretty awesome.
Because right now I'm like, I think my soldier, which I'm using basically for a one-player campaign, I think he's sitting about level 19 or so, and I've got like a level 23 weapon, a level 24 weapon, and I'm just carrying it around with me. It's like, oh, this is great. I can't do anything with it yet.
Yep. Oh, you're only at level 19, dude. You need to catch up.
I know. As I said, it didn't really grab me before. It's getting its hooks into me now, though.
You got to play it co-op. I tried playing it single player. I'm like, meh.
And that's the thing. It's like we were planning on doing like Mondays as PC co-op night. With like Jason, Scott, and Ricky, and in the last 2 weeks, they haven't been interested in doing it. So it's kind of like, all right, well, I guess I'll play single player.
And one of the good ways to do that is if you have different, what's it called, classes, is basically say, I usually just say, I got dibs on sniper rifles. Someone's like, I got dibs on SMGs.
That's what we're doing.
So then that way you don't have to worry about people just stealing loot and shit, because one of my buddies is that guy where... You'd be sitting there looking at an item, just checking out its stats, and all of a sudden it disappears, and you're like, fuck! You're like, poop? Because his name's Major Poop. Like, what happened to that Hunter
Major
mod
Poop
you just took, which you can't even use? Oh, were you going to pick that up? I'm standing right in front of it and looking at it. Yeah, but I'm like, you can't even use it. Yeah, but I sell it for money. Dude, what do you buy with your money? I don't buy anything. I just like seeing my bank account go up. Like, dude, give it back.
I can hear the conversations now. You're looking at the weapon and it disappears and you go, shit, poop!
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Because we know exactly, even if you don't see them like beside you, the second it disappears, you know who it is.
Nice.
And the thing is, he doesn't even giggle or nothing. Like he knows what he did. He's just sitting there grabbing everything and you're just like, poop, what? What happened to that sniper rifle? What are you talking about? You just grabbed a sniper rifle from, like, right there.
Oh, I grabbed a sniper rifle? I didn't know that's what it was. I just saw an item on the ground and grabbed the shit.
Everyone's got someone like that in their party. It happens. But, yeah, so you get the bank. Well, which reminds me, I downloaded Warden's Keep for Dragon Age.
Yeah, which gives you the bank.
And the main reason, because it gives you the bank.
Yeah,
lame. I hate that shit, man.
It is lame, and that is very, very short quest, too.
Like, oh, really?
It's pretty short. It's interesting. I liked it. But, I mean, then again, it is only, I think it was, what, 560 points or something like that, Travis? Like, it wasn't a lot. I think it's, like, $5.
Yeah. That's yeah, like, I just had a random 600 points in my wallet, and I just was like, okay, well, might as well use it on Warden's Keep. I have, like, almost exactly enough, so I was like, screw it, I'll buy it.
Yeah, I still had my 1,000 back from the summer of Arcade when they refunded, like, whatever, and I haven't used it in forever. I'm like, yeah, I might as well get it.
Cool.
And it does give you the bank, which is pretty cool. Yeah. So,
I'm sorry, really quick, speaking of points and Summer of Arcade, I didn't see this on your news, and I think it was just recently announced. I think one of the specials for December on Xbox Live is, figures that the name would slip my mind right now.
Castle Crashers?
No.
Oh.
God.
Shadow Complex.
Shadow Complex, thank you. I was right on my tip of my tongue. But they have, Shadow Complex is now $10 on, Xbox Live.
Freaking
that's a steal.
Buy it.
If you don't have this game already, you need to have this game.
$10. That's
and I know some people have issues with like who made it and who they're associated with, but look at it as just a video game because it is a great video
game.
It
is a fantastic game. It's a fantastic game.
Really?
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you and throw off your
news. No worries. I didn't even say that actually.
Yeah, it was literally announced like maybe an hour after you sent the news out. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I would have left work.
Right.
Yeah. Cool. But that's going to be available end of December. I think it's December 29th on 360. It's going to be available on January 7th, I believe, on PSN. I just know it's a week difference. It comes out on 360 first, and then the next week is PSN for $10 or 800 Microsoft points.
I'll be busy playing Valkyria Chronicles.
Cool. some more news actually written up by our good buddy Travis Baum. Dead Space 2. Was announced.
Yes, it was.
A couple days ago. It was kind of hinted at, I guess, first in a Game Informer. They showed some art or something like that, Travis. You want to explain that?
Yeah, they showed artwork before the issue came out. I should be getting mine any day now. They posted artwork saying, you know, this is the next, this is this month's Game Informer. We're doing the exclusive deal. You know, we're going to show off Dead Space 2 first. And yeah, it just seems that they're doing a second game. It seems Isaac Clarke's going to be back. They're going to do a multiplayer, which some of the magazines have already come out, and some people have already, you know, posted online what the magazine said. So they're still kind of hush hush on the multiplayer, but it's going to take place in a much much bigger space station that's going to have its own separate quarters and everything. It's going to be much bigger. They're promising about 5 to 8 more hours in terms of gameplay itself for the single player. It's gonna be more, and of course it'll expand on the story and everything. Yeah.
I just hope if they're adding 5 more hours that they can at least put some different environments in there.
Well, that's what they're gonna go for. That's definitely what they're going for. They're gonna. I'm assuming they're gonna stop with like trying to backtrack and keep on having to like because you go through an area then you find yourself going back to that same area and whatnot.
Yeah. But I don't think you like the Dead Space. I know that for sure.
I love the first one.
I really like the Dead Space. I'm actually at the very end. I'm going to have to ask you some questions like off the air here, but because I'm pretty sure I'm at like the last level. I can't pass this part, so
okay.
You're gonna be able to help me out.
We'll talk.
I don't think, Chris, did you play the Dead Space?
I have it. It's still wrapped. I'm sorry.
Oh, dude, you gotta play.
I'm sorry.
It's so good.
God forbid. There's so many fucking games out right now.
I'm so happy that we have finally somebody that likes shooters and stuff. That's so good.
And that in sports, I mean, it's honestly kind of really all I like.
Yeah. Although Dead Space isn't really a shooter. I guess it kind of is, but...
No, it's a shooter, sure.
Yeah, it's a shooter.
It's third person, though, so I'm, it's right up my alley.
That's true. There you go. So. It's not first person, so Chris, you should be, like, all over this, like, stink on a monkey, buddy. Just, like,
no, I do want to play it. I've heard a lot of good things about it. I just haven't gotten around to it yet.
All right. Well, I was going to say, well, wait for the gaming drought next year, but...
What gaming drought?
What gaming drought? Exactly, because you know what's coming out next year, early next year?
What's coming out
early
next
year? Which happens to be made by the same people that made Dead Space? Dante's Inferno.
Fuck.
That we talked about earlier with the demos out now, which is pretty awesome that they came out with a demo this early,
yeah,
which I love
actually.
When they do that. And I love when it's free, and I love when you don't have to pre-order it, or you have to sign up for a fucking beta for a demo. When they say, hey, we're coming out with a game. We want to get people to buy our game. Here's a demo, like, a few months in advance to see if
right.
you like the game.
We have confidence in our game, so here's the demo early.
And how did that work?
It
worked all three of us
well,
like,
because all of us want to
buy
the freaking
game
now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm ready for it, yeah.
Well, I was kind of sitting on the fence, like, okay, what version do I get? Like, I usually, for character action games, I'm usually 100% PS3. Bayonetta is literally the first one. I've been like, okay, I'm getting on, I'm sorry, but the difference between the two
is huge.
The quality outweighs on 360 to go with my familiarity with the PS3 controller DualShock with a game like this, because I was so used to, like, Devil May Cry back in the day. So, I wasn't sure which one to get. Multi-platform, who knows, but they announced today, EA, that there's going to have a Dante's Inferno Divine Edition, which is PS3 only.
Which
you might be thinking, okay.
Pretty unusual.
Okay, what's it going to come with? Is it come with, like, a big, large demon breast, and it's going to be, like, life-size, and it's going to be, like, $150? No. But you're also not getting the breast either. But
darn it!
But you're going to get developer commentaries.
Cool.
You're going to get a digital art book.
Cool.
You're going to get an actual translated full version of the Divine Comedy, Dante's Inferno.
Nice.
So that's included in there.
That's really cool.
Now I want to know more about that. Tell me more about that. What else
what
is
do you
to
mean
say?
You want to know more about that?
I mean, is it like an audio book, or I mean, what is it like a? Is it like a digital?
It's a digital copy.
It's just a digital copy of the book?
Just a digital copy, as far as I know. It's like, I'm pretty sure it's all text. All
right, cool.
If it is audio, that would be pretty cool. But
well, no, you know what? That's if it's the right way of doing it, then maybe you can transfer it to your PSP or something and read it on your
PSP.
Yeah,
and then read it on
cool.
like read it on the subway, read it on a bus, read it on the GO train, read it on the shitter, whatever you want to do. Be fine. Also, if you pre-order it, I think this goes for both versions, but if you pre-order at GameStop, you'll get an actual... Dante figurine kind of thing to go along with it, but who knows what the quality is. But either way, this is like kind of stuff you'd normally find in the limited edition for like $10 more.
Or yeah. more than that.
EA's giving it to you for free.
What?
That's
and
awesome.
Just on PS3. 100% free. So if you go to the store, like now and pre-order the game on PS3, you get this version.
That is awesome.
If you
awesome.
Don't pre-order the game, if you just go to a store on the day the game's released, a week after the day the game's released, whenever... you're getting this version of the game.
Without the action figure, of course.
Without the action figure, yes. But this version of the game is what's coming out for PS3.
Which is awesome,
yeah,
once you say. So for the same price of $59.99, you're getting this pretty sweet-ass deal with this game. And my mind is made up. I am buying this game, and I'm buying it on PS3.
Yeah, me too. There you go. And that's probably, I'm pretty sure most... Well, I wouldn't say most people, because I really, really think... Because this game is like a God of War clone, that it's going to do really well on 360. All the people that are...
You might be right about
just
that.
Just have 360 who are envious of God of War. This is God of War. Yeah. You know, and it's multi-platform. So
you might be very correct about that.
Yeah, I'm thinking a lot of people still will get it for PS3, but I think it's still going to sell very, very
well. That's
well
the thing. I think that this is more of a way to entice PS3 owners to get it because... Honestly,
yeah, because,
it's
I mean,
like,
God
why
of
wouldn't you wait,
wait
another month and get God of War?
Yeah, that's the thing. They have to give,
it's incentive for PS3 owners to go out and buy it, I think, more than anything.
Exactly. And I think it's going to work. I mean, all of us are multi-platform owners, and I think we're all getting it PS3, so what's
yep,
that?
Yeah, pretty much.
Hey,
yeah,
Jeff.
Exactly. Yo.
That was a really nice article.
Oh, thanks, man. You like that?
I really like that. on the new and improved interactive distraction site.
Oh, that's
yeah.
a website.
What is
Interact-
that?
Yeah. InteractiveDistractions.com, baby. It's a website.
Right. It's a website. Website.
It's our website.
PS3. It is our website. It's so nice. And Jason, man. Jason, if you listen to the show, awesome job,
You better
job,
fucking
buddy.
Listen to the show.
Dude.
Very, very
yeah.
good.
He's he's been the backbone of that shit from the beginning.
It's amazing. It's amazing what he did at this site. And I mean,
but for real though, we're not talking hype. Amazing.
Good stuff. What else we got going on?
Awesome. From one PS3 exclusive to the another. This is one app we actually touched on with when this is kind of unfortunate when Shane Ben has one on the show. We mentioned to him that Ignition should probably pick up Yakuza 3 because bring it over to North America. We have good news and bad news. Good news is Yakuza 3 is coming to North America.
Awesome.
The bad news is Ignition's not bringing it over.
Oh.
It's actually, I think I'm pretty sure it's either Sony or Sega themselves, or like a cooperative kind of thing.
I think it's Sega themselves, actually.
Yeah, I think it might be Sega. And then they're not redoing the voices, so it's going to be the original Japanese voices with English subtitles to probably speed up things. But it's going to show up in March of next year.
Very cool. Alongside God of War, it's like, could you clump everything together for me, please? I appreciate that.
Can you really send us out to die? But when you think about it, Yakuza is such a niche market in North America, I don't think it's going to matter. Like, Yakuza 3 can come out in the middle of the freaking summer when there's nothing coming out, and I don't think it would sell any more than it would if it came out in the middle of a holiday, because all the people who have played Yakuza 1 or 2 know what the game is and what they
play.
Yeah,
that's true.
That's just I don't think it would really make a difference. But, and the fact that they're still bringing it over is
well. The fact that they're bringing it over is a testament to the fans that actually got on Sega's case about saying they weren't going to bring it over. So this, I mean, it's nice to know that there are companies out there that still listen to their fans. You know, they still hear us. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's good.
Yeah,
and,
I mean, Sega's good for something. And that's apparently, like, I mean,
obviously, it's not bringing Bayonetta to the PS3.
But
they're doing it the right way, I think, too. They're minimizing the cost by not doing extra voiceovers. They're just going to subtitle, you know, the Japanese voices and you know, put it out
there.
Which
a lot of people prefer anyway.
Yeah, I mean, most people that buy these kinds of games probably do prefer that. And, I think it's the right move to do with this. That way they can just translate, put in some text, and be done with it.
Yeah, because John Smith, who's butting heads with his buddy who just finished beating his friend's ass in Madden, aren't going to go over and buy Yakuza 3.
Pretty much,
that's just not going to happen. No. So I'm sure that's the person who wants, like, English subtitles with ridiculous dubbing. But anywho.
Yeah, good stuff.
Crazy. Another game that is, this is kind of a surprise this week. Quantum Theory is the exclusive, again, exclusive with PS3.
So many PS3 exclusives.
Yeah.
This is that Gears of War kind of clone.
Gears of War clone brought to you by being published by THQ, which I would normally be like, oh, THQ, but we had the discussion earlier where I shouldn't really badmouth them.
That's right.
THQ.
Been putting out some good stuff. Quantum Theory exclusive, not so much.
Oh, really? What happened with that?
No, they came out. It's going to be hitting 360 as well. Not even timed exclusive, it looks like, anymore.
Hmm.
Same day, same date. Rumor has it that they have been getting a lot of notice, I guess, for the game. Not a lot of coverage. And they basically are bringing it over to 360 to, I guess, boost sales, I guess. Or to get another market out there. But yeah, it is the one that if you see videos and see screenshots of this game, it's very, it looks like a Gears of War game Japanese by a developer.
Yeah.
I mean, developed by a Japanese developer.
that was awesome. Okay.
I gotta slow down for next segment.
You use Japanese as a verb.
Like, totally
did. Japanese, biatch.
But yeah, it looks like a Gears of War developed by a Japanese developer. That's basically what it looks like. You got like the kind of big beefy dude with the armor, but with spiky hair. And that's and a midriff. Like running around.
But, it's Gears of Fantasy. Right.
And I've heard, though, because, I mean, if anyone's played, like, Gears of War, Gears of War 2, there's a lot of fuck that shit and shit. let's get this asshole, like, all the swearing.
Come get some.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Duke Nukem, there we go. Foreshadowing. But apparently, Quantum Theory, one of the first things that the character says, you walk out, and it's co-op, too, right? So you've got your co-op character, and the guy's like, shit, man, we got a lot of shit to blow up. And the other guy looks into the other guy and says,
Who
gives a shit?
Gives a shit.
Nobody who plays Gears of War gives a shit. I can tell
exactly.
You that right now.
Like, really? That's who gives a shit? And the funny thing is, we talked about Dante's Inferno. Because no matter how good this Quantum Theory game is, Well, I can't say that because it's really good. People will probably buy it.
But it's not really good. We know it's not really good because it came out in Japan already and nobody liked it.
Yeah, no, exactly. No one liked it. And it's Quantum Theory. Well, then again, Japan, people in Japan don't like Gears of War anyway. But when it comes here, no 360 player is going to want to play a Gears of War clone that's not as good as Gears of War.
No. Yeah.
And you know what? I don't think any PS3 players want to really play it either because, if you want a game that plays like Gears of War, you're probably playing Uncharted.
Probably. And you know what makes this like really, you know, it's not relevant. Okay. A PS3 exclusive, what was supposed to be a PS3 exclusive, suddenly is not and is going over to the 360 day and date. And no one on VG Evo really cares about it. It's not a big deal. I didn't hear
Zing.
One person
Dude,
bitch.
More people talked about Haze on VG Evo than Quantum Theory.
And I can guarantee you Quantum Theory will be a better game than Haze was.
Yeah. And I was going to say the whole Dante's Inferno thing is like, because I was going to say normally you'd be like, who the hell would on PS3 would play Dante's Inferno on PS3 because God of War. But, I mean, we already know that Dante's is going to be a pretty decent game. And you get free shit.
And you get free shit.
Yeah. But,
all right, cool.
Yeah, no, don't care. I didn't care about Quantum Theory when it was just a PS3 exclusive. I'm like,
yeah, I
really?
Don't care either.
I didn't know about it until we brought it up for the news.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
Watch some videos of spiky-haired friggin' Marcus Fenix wannabes running through and
Gears of
and
Fantasy, I'm
shit.
Telling you.
Is it already out in Japan, really? Already?
Yeah, I think it is already out in Japan. And I think like
they don't
Famitsu,
like shooter. Why would they even think of that? They said they were going to develop for American audiences, and they.
Yeah, I think Famitsu gave it like a 20-something. It was not pretty, you know. I
mean, and that's out of 4 reviewers.
That's pretty bad. I mean, they gave Gears like 38 or something.
Yeah, Gears
like that.
Did well. Like, Quantum Theory, not so much. Not so much.
Wow. Anyway, that was your news, guys.
All right. I think we'll do well by taking a break. So let's do that.
Yeah.
Holy crap. That's a long first segment.
Yeah. Well, we had a lot of games to talk about, so that's good.
We did.
But, yeah, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about our game rooms of choice. And then we'll do some new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. So stay with us, and we'll be back right after this.
See you.
Bye. It's time to wake up.
Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a faithful show. The podcast is about video games and all their music too. The hosts met on the internet at first to start this show. They called it Amplified Gamers on VGEVO, on VGEVO. The feature of the week was launched and replies kept piling in. If not for the courage of our fearless host, it'd be 3 hours long. 3 hours long. The show comes out just once a week, right to your computer, with Jividen and Tom Mace too. Trickmantery, not his wife, voiceover guy, and sometimes a special guest here on Amplified Gamers.
And welcome back.
You welcome back.
You welcome back too, Jeff.
Guys, you welcome back.
All right, so today we are talking about what we would want in our game room or our
man
cave.
Don't say man cave, because that sounds ridiculous, apparently.
What?
I don't know if that made the if that
what's
made
wrong?
The recording.
Jack, what's wrong with it? What's wrong with it?
I guess I didn't make the show last week, but when we were discussing how to phrase the question of the week. I phrased it in such a way where it made sense, but then both Travis and Jason were kind of like, that kind of sounds a bit ridiculous when you say it out loud. It kind of sounds a little bit...
sounds like a cave of men. Not a cave where a man dwells.
So I'm like, no, we'll go along with this. So we actually set a recording and actually said the question of the week, and right afterwards I stopped and I was like... Yeah, we totally have to rephrase that.
all the things that I missed last week.
And Jeff couldn't finish. It was he kept on laughing.
I kept lying. I was retarded.
All right. Well, we got quite a few emails for this, I believe. So I'm going to pass the show over to Travis and let him read away.
All right. We're going to do this right. The first email we have comes from our man, Fergus Mahon. Dear Indus, My game room would have to be hidden ideally with one of those bookshelves that you pull a book from the shelf and it just swivels around and you end up in a dark room with a projector and all the game systems set up on that with a massage chair and a fridge full of Red Bull.
Oh.
Yours sincerely, Fergus1001. P.S. Did you give away that game yet? I don't know what he's talking about.
Left 4 Dead 2. No, we haven't yet, but we're going to give more details about that at the end of the show. And I'm going to hopefully post something on the website about it tomorrow, as well as on VG Evo.
That's right.
In the forums. So, my goal is to give it away next week on the show.
Nice. Cool deal.
And thank you, Fergus, for that generous gift. And I am sorry that we've been so slack-ass that we haven't gotten it done yet. Because we suck!
I know. It's been busy, though, dude. We've been busy.
So. Yeah. And I wasn't here last week, so that helps.
That is very true. And so, you're usually the glue that keeps us together.
I'm the sticky goo.
Well, you're definitely gooey. I don't know about sticky. I would replace the Red Bull with beer.
I would put beer in the fridge. I'd probably have Red Bull and beer.
In the secret panic room man cave deal might be a little too expensive, especially this year. There's a lot of good games. You know, we're in a recession. True. Yeah, just find you a little.
And you might find yourself trapped in there for a bit and kind of
exactly.
And you don't realize how to get. Which book do I pull to get out of here?
And what if you lock yourself in? You got to call somebody and say, "Hey, Kate, you know, pull Taming of the Shrew." Taming of the Shrew.
Exactly. And on the way out, it might be a video game collection. You might be like, I don't want anyone to figure this out, so what's a game that no one would want to play? Human or Lair? I can put it behind Lair, and then you could be drinking too much Red Bull. You'd be all like popped up in Red Bull and be like, shit, I can't remember what game it is. What do I feel like playing? You're not even going to look at that game. And next thing you know, you're in there for like a year. Your family's already moved. They figure you're gone. And life as you know it is not the same.
That's a lose-lose situation right
there. Yeah, that's pretty... Well, you still have your man cave, though. I hope you have some, like, gamer grub in there or something packed up. Or
gamer grub? I thought that stuff was gross.
Some of that stuff is pretty good, man. They've got, like, the peanut butter and jelly stuff. That's pretty good.
Oh, yeah, the only time I touched it, I was pretty much half in the bag, so it all tasted fine to me.
Well, Ryan, Taryn, knows I hate that stuff, and every day at Battle Ember, he shoves that gamer grub in my face. Hey, dude, you want some? No. I absolutely do not want none of that. It is fine. Well, I don't know. I don't like it. Anyway, so thanks, Fergus. Appreciate it,
thanks,
buddy.
Thanks, Fergus.
Yeah, man.
Good stuff. Moving along, our main man, Jack Bauer, Andrew Thomas.
Hey, I know him.
Yeah, he's all right.
He's all right. Yeah, he's kind of cool guy. All right.
So he writes in and says, my dream man cave would include one, a dirty great big wall with high def television that lowers from the ceiling. Two, 8.1 surround sound system. Does that even exist?
Whoa, shit.
Talk about the next generation.
What's the eighth speaker? I have.
I was like, where's that eighth speaker go? Like right below your ass?
You got two in the front, two in the back, two on the side. Where's the eighth one? Is it right behind you?
I think Jeff hit it right. It's the ass of the
seat.
It's
right on the end of your ass. Like you have the subwoofer somewhere around
the place.
It's the
second woofer, yeah. My wife loves that seat. It's crazy.
She likes the washing machine on the spin cycle too, doesn't she?
We've gone too far. Trust me, she listens to this show right now. We gotta stop. Number three, a range of different consoles. No Wii though.
What?
No, that goes in the
living
room.
Come on, don't diss the Wii.
No, that doesn't belong in the man. No, I agree with him. That doesn't belong in the man cave, and that belongs in like the living room where you can play your games with like when people come over and like with your girlfriend or wife or whatever.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense. Number four, the one and only Lazy Boy recliner.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. You gotta like that.
Though I kind of would like a sumo lounge. One of those little sumo lounger beanbags.
Are pretty nice, too.
Those are awesome. They're expensive, too, though, but they're really nice. Number five, a mini fridge filled to the brim with Red Bull. That's the second Red Bull.
What the hell is Red
Bull? Two in a row, man.
Ooh. They must want kidney stones.
I know, right?
Number six.
I like a rock in my stomach.
A selection of framed gaming posters.
Nice.
Cool.
All right, cool.
Gotta frame them. Nice.
I think that's a definite.
Number seven. Stash of porn.
Ah, an honest man. That's
very
good.
Very nice. Eight. And of course, I'd have the Indus logo painted across one of the walls. In parentheses, I get brownie points for that, right?
Yeah, you do.
Signed, Jack, open your mouth whilst I teabag you, Bauer.
Oh, God.
The mouth is wide open. What?
Oh.
Jack's
does Jack,
awesome.
Does Jack Bauer say that in season 8 or something?
Yes, he does, actually.
That'd be awesome. Greatest season ever. So thanks, man. That's good stuff.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
I agree with
just about everything that he said. I'm not a fan of the Red Bull, as I said before.
No, the Red Bull, not a fan. But the porn, definitely, because that's
porn
like, he's like, hey, I'm going to the man cave for to play some games. Your girlfriend, wife, family's going to be like, all right, we'll have fun. Bust out the porn. You know, you're throwing a switch up, like a little bait and switch. They have no idea. Good stuff. I like that.
Cool.
Take care of business in private.
Take care of that business. All right, moving along. We have our favorite imaginary fruit, Tamarind Laz.
T-Laz.
Tamarind Laz. That's good, though. He still fucked up his name like Jason usually would, so there you go.
No, Tamarind's right, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I thought you said something else.
I got this. I've been drinking. He writes, hey, guys. I'm here to answer this week's question of the week. I guess I'd like to have a nice HDTV and see what I've been missing. Also, a nice sound system would go great with that. I would also like to have a huge library of games, and since it's my game room, the collector's editions of them. Mm-hmm. I also like a comfortable couch to sit on and have all my systems hooked up and ready to be played. Also, I like a ton of strawberry sour belt candies. I know they're diabetes, but I gotta get hooked on them.
I thought you were gonna say strawberry shortcake. I'm like, what the fuck? Sorry, continue.
I know they're diabetes, but I got to get hooked on them. Uncharted 2 was a much better experience thanks to those belts. Finally, just frame posters and other gaming memorabilia. I know this is pretty much boring, but not if it's on the moon.
On the moon!
Oh, shit. That's on the moon. That's pretty crazy.
He has his teleporter.
Hey, guys,
you want to
play some games? Hold up a second. We gotta go to Florida, take a shuttle. We had to wait like a week. And yeah,
this is when teleporter technology is after that's been created.
That's like what, a month away or something.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Month away, maybe. But at the same time, the Gran Turismo 5 comes out, I think. Really?
That and Alan Wake.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, he finishes up. Keep up the great work. Also, Travis, great job so far. Yeah, I like this guy.
Brownie points.
Travis likes the brown nosing.
And more brownie points. He's actually downloading the God of War 3 demo right now as we speak.
Nice.
So, good for him. Yeah,
good for you,
man. PS3 crapped out on him, but now he's got it fixed. So.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
Good on him.
And it was signed, Tamarind Laz. P.S., Jeff and Jason, if you're listening, don't take me off your PSN friends list. I will be back, but my PS3 is disassembled at the moment while I'm waiting for my laser deck.
Well, he messaged me today.
He's like, hey, I got my shit fixed. I'm downloading God of War 3 demo right now, but he's like, it's taking too long. I can't wait to play it. That was just on a break right now. So yeah, don't worry, dude. You're not deleted yet.
I'm trying to think if I have him on my friends list.
And I'm going to say this right now. If people are listening, the people I tend to delete when other people ask me to put them on their list are people that don't message me and don't play games at all, much often.
Or so, they don't sign on for a long time.
Exactly.
That's what I do.
I usually go for who's been the longest signed on. And if it's somebody I personally know or somebody I play games with that hasn't been signed on for a while, of course they get
a pass. That's fine.
They get a pass. But
yeah.
If someone like us, we do get messages here and there like, hey, add me, and I'll add pretty much anyone. But like I said, and we've said this many times before, whether you're on Facebook, Twitter, PSN, Xbox Live, if you're going to add us, just say who you are or how you know us.
Hey, I'm from VG Evo, or hey, I listen to your show.
Listen to your show. Yep. Hey, I'm a homeless guy down the street. Whatever that I would somehow recognize you from somewhere or whatever. And dude, totally. I'll boot someone else who I haven't seen in forever.
Yeah, so. I do the same thing. I go down to the bottom of the list and whoever hasn't signed on. And usually there's like someone who hasn't signed on for like a month.
It's yeah,
like,
exactly.
Bye.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
True that, but you're still there.
Cool deal. Well, thanks,
Tamarind.
I
was going to kick you off right before actually the break, and then I went to check the one to kick off, and I was like, oh, shit, Tamarind's on. Like, okay, cool.
All right, we have yet another one. Hey, fellas, it's been way too long. Just a few things here. For the question of the week, I've never really given too much thought into how I would build my dream game room, but needless to say, it would need a fatty TV and a surround sound. On a more personal note, I'd love to have a Street Fighter 4 cabinet in there.
Oh,
hell
yeah.
Yeah. I'm actually on the lookout for one because I have this alcove in my room that's just still kind of blank, and I was going to kind of make it a music area, but I'm thinking I kind of want an arcade.
Are you talking right now, or are you reading?
No, this is me.
Oh, okay.
Personally, I'm kind of wanting like a little like an arcade, you know. I think it would be really
awesome.
Nice and everything.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, sidebar. And speaking of Street Fighter 4, he continues, I remember how stoked I was on the idea of a random select tourney after the first season of Scrub Sports. Since I'll be done with fall quarter by the time you guys record, I'd figure I'd put up a post on scrubsport.com, it's a website, to get a feel for who wants in on a PS3 random select fest. I'd really appreciate it if you guys pimp this on your next show, since, you know, Scrub Sport hasn't seen any action since October. Keep on keeping on, guys. Your favorite ROG. Our man, Mufasa 95.
Mufasa.
I saw him trying to pimp out the Scrub Sport in the tournament. I didn't realize it was a random tournament he was doing, though.
I think it's a good idea to kind of hold us up, because I think after talking to Jason and you guys as well, that we're kind of going to pick up the official Season 2 come Super Street Fighter 4,
yeah.
Which is going to be a big deal. I can't wait to see how many entries we have onto that tournament. I think it's going to be huge.
It probably will
I think
be,
it's going to be
which is both a good and a bad thing.
More work for Scott.
if Scott wants to take it, I mean, the Blaze Blue League actually had more players than the Street Fighter League did. And
oh, really?
That became a pretty big, like.
Yeah, and Project was doing that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He was a trooper.
That had more people. So we'll see it. We'll see how it goes. But looking forward to it.
Cool. Cool deal. Coming up next. Coming from our man Prime, Mr. Darren Speed.
What's up, Prime?
Hey, Prime. Yes,
Prime.
Well, I guess we'll finish the email first.
Let's finish the email. Hey, guys. Prime here from the Down to Forward X podcast. I in no way could afford a game room, but if I could, my dream game room would consist of my HDTV, my PS3, and my PSP, a shelf full of my games and DVDs. The rest of it would be purely aesthetic in the style of Silent Hill.
Ooh.
And he has bullet points on this.
Oh, bullet points are awesome.
Rusty looking fences. A hospital gurney for a bed.
Okay.
Half mannequins emerging from the walls and ceilings.
Creepy.
A hole in the wall big enough for a human arm to reach in and bring out an arbitrary item.
And a life-size sheep.
Of negligible importance to solve a puzzle. A torch at one end of the room. And embedded in the wall would be a tape player with a loop of radio static. Nice. Oh, and a life-size statue of Pyramid Head. Or even better, the real Pyramid Head, the Silent Hill 2 version. And a giant Pruny plushie.
Nice.
I would have sent you a voicemail, but I get really tongue-tied easily. We'll take it easy, guys, and keep up the good work.
Wait, you
love
get tongue-tied easily,
Prime.
But you do a podcast?
And he's got a great voice. Like, he sent his voice.
He's
we talked
Scottish.
To him yesterday. Well, he's Scottish, and it's really deep, and he's Scot. And if it's not Scottish, it's crap, and it sounds really authentic.
Prime, is that you?
I
how
love
do, how
it,
do you
man.
Get on, how do you get on our show?
Let's not. You want to talk Tampax, that was it right there, because no one's going to know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
But we were there.
Well, we might as well say it now, because we don't really know. Like, let's put Down to Ford X is... in my opinion, one of the best podcasts that's on the VGO non-network, if that makes any sense.
Ranks right up there with Expletive Deleted.
I was going to say, my two favorite from the non-network podcasts are definitely Expletive Deleted, with our buddies Kill9, Kelly, and Chris, and then, of course, Down to Forward X with Prime and Rage, because They're totally original. They are like a gaming podcast that don't actually kind of talk about games. They just kind of reference games in a kind of satirical, like adventurous kind of way. If you haven't listened to them, you guys really should. It's really funny. They're not that long. They're between like 30 minutes and 40, I think, so far is the max. But keep your eye out for the next episode, because there might be a little bit of a surprise in there. That's all I'm going to say right now. But yeah, you should check it out. Their next episode when it releases. Anywho, that's a creepy-ass man cave, by the way.
That is a freaky-ass man cave. That's creepy as hell,
man. It is creepy, but the idea of a themed
that's pretty
game
cool.
room...
I do like the theme idea.
Is a neat idea. Is a neat idea, yeah. I do
mine
like
would be
idea.
Castlevania.
My thing, though, is I have, like, ADD, nice. So I'd have, like, one theme, and then, like, a month later, I'd be like, nah, I'm bored of this.
Let's change it.
Yeah.
Now I have to redo everything, and, yeah.
Unfortunately, with like, a game room, you can't just, like, point and click and change themes.
No, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah,
no.
Sure doesn't.
You have to actually put in some work and move stuff. So, well, thanks again, Prime. Good stuff, buddy.
Awesome. Who's next?
Coming up next from our other man in England, Lee Kelly.
Hey.
Lee Kelly.
He's becoming a weekly thing.
He is.
He
I like
miss.
It. I like it
I
a lot.
I like it a lot. Hello, Indus crew.
Don't ever
Lee
do
Kelly
that
here to answer your latest question of the week. In my dream, man, cave would be one lazy boy. One lazy boy.
That's another word for that.
Yeah, and it's both from the British guys. A large 1080p TV.
Damn right.
A large fridge.
240 hertz.
6 foot high surround sound speakers.
Fuck! What the hell are you gonna do with 6 foot high speakers?
Holy crap!
A 5 second walk to the toilet.
Yeah, dude, that's definitely a necessity right
yeah.
there. I was thinking that or diapers for mine.
Okay. Why don't you just have a seat that is a toilet?
Yeah, that would work too.
But where are you going to put that eighth speaker, though, that goes under you?
Dude, that is the toilet. The speaker is the toilet. That's like...
He also would like classic arcade machines and also his 360 PS3 and a high-end PC/laptop. Keep up the great show, guys. Look forward to seeing Jason's videos. Lee Kelly.
Lee Kelly.
Thank you, Lee Kelly.
That's another vote for the Lazy Boy, too. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, a lot of people love the Lazy Boy.
Yeah, yeah. Good stuff. What else we got? Cool.
Do we have anything else?
We do have one more, and I got to say, I usually don't pre-read these, and I did read this one, and I'm glad I did, because I saved this one for last, because this has got to be... of the three shows that I've done, one of my most favorite emails. And I'm really not trying to hype it up.
All right. So how much does he put his nose in your bum?
Not really any at all, I don't believe.
Oh, well, there you go. That says a lot. Cool.
Hey, guys. Project, a.k.a. Nico here.
Ah, it's Nico. Of course it's going
to
be awesome.
To not really answer your question of the week, but more to comment in regards to it. In particular, it was something Travis had said last... Oh, I am in there. It was something Travis said last week in response to Harlock's email. He made a lot of good points that kind of stuck with me, such as how a movie room or book room would be respected, or how if your friends really don't game or share a major hobby, your major hobby in general, then they're probably not really that much of a friend in the first place. To give a little background on myself, I've only got two friends here in Portland that I really hang out with. I don't see them very often, and simply for the fact that we don't really share that many interests. Getting them to play games with me is damn near like pulling teeth. In addition to that, anyone else I talk about my hobby with, because I'm not ashamed to be a gamer, they make fun of me or tell me that I'm 15 years too old to be still doing that.
What?
To all those people, I say
fuck you.
Yeah.
I really hope the day will come when gaming is widely accepted as a hobby for all ages, not just fucking kids.
It is in our book, buddy.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, that's the bullshit I deal with here on a daily basis. I'm glad I found VG Evo and have a ton of awesome people to play games with. But it wasn't until Indus Fest that it really occurred to me that there were other people just like me. You can ask Chris. I was very quiet at first when I got off the plane, and that was because I didn't want to annoy people with all my gaming talk. But it was so refreshing to
have
Chris.
Dude, we annoy people with our gaming talk every fucking week, man.
Right? Right. But it was so refreshing to have Chris and Crayman start talking about the PSP Go while we waited for my bags. That was the beginning of a very memorable trip. I met a ton of awesome people there, including the three of you. It was so awesome, in fact, that I've decided that I am going to move to Atlanta sometime next year.
Nice.
Oh, awesome.
Very awesome. So, yeah, that's the kind of impact an event like IndusFest had on me. Apparently, it has a similar impact on others as well, since I'm not the only one looking to a move to Atlanta.
That's great.
As for my man cave, well, I'll wait till I move to start creating it. I promise it'll be cool, though. Thanks for reading this guy. You all rule, Nico. P.S. Jeff, I'm still looking into one of those passport thingies. Never know when I might be in Toronto. Well, I never know when I might be in Toronto humping some Canadian's leg for the sake of a bromance. Just super saying.
Nice. Well, you better get on your ass in that passport.
Those are a pain in the ass to get, too, might I add.
I guess they are there. I don't know. They're not.
I didn't have any problem getting mine. As long as you have the proper identification, you're good to go.
Yeah.
This was scary because, like, he brought up the whole, like, video game thing and people, like, kind of making fun of him or whatever. But when I first met Nico at IndusFest, the guy is so laid back and chill and seems like he can get along with anyone. It's like, I don't understand why people would judge somebody because they play video games.
It's retarded. It really is. But that's the world we live in still. I mean, people still look at games as a kid's toy most of the time. The popularity of the Wii hasn't really helped anything because that's, you know, who's mostly getting it is like kids and families and stuff.
Well, add to that, you know, I mentioned last week on the show that, you know, we were hosting that party with all of our business partners, and part of the party was going to be everybody is going to come upstairs in the man cave and we're going to play Rock Band. And, you know, a lot of people had fun. A lot of people that never played Rock Band had a really good time. And, you know, these are, you know, some people are like 40, 50 year old business people. And, you know, there were a couple of looks. It mainly came from the older women. This is interesting. But some of the older men, they were like, okay, I'll try this Rock Band thing. Oh, this is interesting. But you know, when they got into it, they started to kind of get into it. Like our director of marketing was like, I've never played this, and I want to buy one of these right now, because he had never played Rock Band. He had never been experienced to that ever. He hadn't probably played a video game since Galaga, and he totally was sucked in. So there were some people that got into it, but for the most part, there were a lot of people that were kind of standoffish about coming up in here. So yeah, you know, that mentality, and you know, we touched on last week and again with this email this week, that there is still a stigma with video games.
Yeah.
You know, I could sit here and have a great movie room, but if I have a video game room, there is a few people that are going to be a little like, this is different.
Yeah,
this is weird. Yeah, exactly. and that's why, you know, when I met you guys and started, you know, we actually started hanging out together, you know, Meg and I, we have our core other couples that we hang out with. But I'll be honest with you, of the couples that I really enjoy hanging out with, the guy in that opposite couple plays video games. Yeah. You know, and you met Lizard Leader was here a while back when we had that Rock Band party that we streamed months ago. You know, I kind of like to stick with our own. You know, there's a couple of people that I know that are good friends of mine that don't play games, but, you know, they're really, really good people. But other than that, I like to kind of hang out with gamers. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just the way, you know. I just know that if I bring them upstairs, they're going to be like, this is badass.
This is awesome. Yeah.
You know?
And that's totally understandable. And that's, yeah, that's one of the reasons I can't wait to actually get a house with a basement.
Right.
That's the thing. Me and Tanya, like, I even told her, I'm like, when we move out somewhere, I want, like, kind of like man cave thing. And we first started looking for apartments. We wanted to look for, like, a one bedroom plus, like, a den kind of thing. And the den was going to be, like, the video game area.
Right.
But we couldn't really find a good one that would suit that. And she was, surprisingly, she was all for it. She was like, yeah, we will get it, like, a TV, whatever. It'd be, like, your own personal, like, space, whatever. I was like, really? You're for this? You realize this is to, like, get away from shit and, like, play my video games so I'm not bothered. She's like, yeah, whatever. It'd be fun.
Huh.
But it never really happened. So now the entire living room is my entertainment center. But
yeah. And some you touched on also is something that is kind of an issue when you have your own room. Now, the problem that I'm having with my cave, and I don't know if what you're looking for, Jeff, you're going to run into the same issue, is that, and you've seen, you've been to the house, so you've seen the room, that it's so secluded from the other part of the house, and you don't get to spend that much time with your significant other, you know, for those who are in relationships. You don't get to spend that much time with them when you want to take a couple of hours and play some video games, and you could have some issues, excuse me, that could arise from that. So I don't know how you and Tanya share your personal time. But that could be, you know, it could be an issue, because sometimes it has sprung issues between me and Megan. You know, hey, Travis, I would like to, you know, spend a little time once you come downstairs. And I'm like, let me save first.
one more level.
An hour later, you know, did you find a save point yet? Man, this game's brutal. There are no save points in this game. I don't know what's going on. So yeah, it can cause an issue. Whereas if your main gaming space is in the living room, y'all can at least have, you know, be together in that room physically, and some, you know, sometimes the ladies can be content with that, you know, so that's something you might want to look out for. But you know, for the most part, that's the only problem that I have at my room. So I don't know what you're looking for with you and Tanya when y'all finally do, you know, move to Atlanta. If you know, when y'all get a house, if you get a basement, if the seclusion of, you know, is going to be a factor and everything. Do you think that, you know, Tanya, or does Tanya like to have her space away from you sometimes?
It kind of goes either way. Like, it doesn't really, I don't think she'd have a problem with it being too secluded if that were the case.
Right.
I mean, yeah, because she doesn't mind watching me play games sometimes, and sometimes she likes to do her own thing, so it's really not an issue.
Yeah, Crystal's kind of the same way. So it's like, it's one of those things where, you know, once in a while, depending on the game I'm playing, she'll come over and watch me play. Mm-hmm. And then there's other situations where she knows, you know, we both need us time, you know, and we need time to be just alone by ourselves. And, but the thing is, the thing about the way I have it set up right now is that it's kind of nice because, you know, we have the desks. Well, I have a pretty big living room, and I've got the desks on one side and all the entertainment center and everything like that on the other. So that's something that when I do get a basement, I'm probably going to lose. So it's going to be trial and error for a while, I think, but, mm-hmm. you know, I'm going to have to work that out.
That actually, you brought up, you know, talking away how your desk, and I've seen your house, how your desks are set, you know, are set up. You know, my wife likes to spend a lot of time on the computer as well. That could be a possible answer to a situation if you have, you know, a significant other who is seriously having a problem with you being away. If you have a computer, you know, putting that computer, like get you a computer desk and put it in there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so if they want to be on the computer, they're at least in that same space as you. And like I said, most people can be content with just being in the same area. You know, it may not be quality time, but, you know, so I might actually pick me up a computer desk this weekend. That's a good idea, man. Thanks.
No problem. I'm here for you.
You aim to please.
That's right. That's right. All right. Well, let's talk about our man caves. Let's talk about what we would want. So, Travis, you're the one that actually has one. So why don't you give the rundown of what you have and what kind of stuff you want to add?
All right. My number one goal with this room, when I found out I had total freedom to decorate the room, my first goal was to have unique things. I didn't want mass-produced posters that anyone and their mom can pick up at Kmart. You know,
right.
I wanted to get really, really nice stuff, but also I kind of didn't want to make it look like a 13-year-old lived in here. And it's kind of hard to do when you're doing a game room, but I was trying to go for authentic, unique things that most people didn't have. So, you know, I searched for areas that didn't, you know, that like eBay. When I looked on eBay, I looked for things that, okay, these are limited printings. You know, only 25 of these are in style. Like, for instance, I have this little collage, and when you're far away from it, it's Mario. But when you really zoom in,
yeah,
it's made up of little pictures of like the Dreamcast and controllers. And it's really neat. And there was only like 40 of those made.
That's pretty cool, man.
And it's really, really neat. Actually, there's still some available. So if you just look up like Mario Collage on eBay, people can look up. I was actually thinking about on the new website posting up ways, because there's some things that you can still get that I really like it in my room that, I mean, people should snag up, because there's some really cool stuff that's still available out there that not a lot of people have. And to me, that's important. I have some wall scrolls that I got from this store in the mall who gets everything imported from Japan. So
cool.
it's not too available here. I'm sure you can get it online easily, but it's not too available in the state. Discover Mills, yeah, that little Japanese endpoint store. Oh, I love that store.
Yeah,
it's great. You know, and I got my VG Evo stuff. I actually got my Trickman Terry autographed little picture, you know, the one with him and the wizard. I love it. It's great. Jason makes fun of me. Jason makes fun of me so much for it, but I love it. It's great. You know, and actually, Terry, speaking of Terry, he was real gracious, and he gave me one of his Trickman Terry Basement Bash, the one that you guys
Oh, the ones
that
we got from us.
Yeah. And, you know, the autograph ones with Billy Mitchell and everything. He, you know, just gave me one of those. I mean, he heard that I was going to try to be a collector because at first, before VG Evo, I was one of those just go to GameStop, trade my game, and when I'm done with it, you know, when I had older consoles like the SNES and the Genesis, I just, when I was done with it and the new generation came up, I got rid of the old ones. It was never, you know, important to me to hold on to these things. But now seeing, you know, all my new friends, you guys, how you collect everything, I'm like, man, I really missed out on things that I should have been saving.
It's good that you changed your ways, Travis. It's good.
It is. And I'm actually gracious for it because it allows, you know, when I can bring gamers in here, it allows people to appreciate the fact that, wow, this guy really likes this stuff and that's cool. You know,
yeah, absolutely. So it just, I mean, the birthday present that your buddy gave you is just a good example of that.
Oh, that is definitely my my number one showpiece of the room. If anyone didn't see the stream or look on the thread of the room on VG Evo, one of my good friends, Chris Richardson, really good guy. He's a artist and he painted on this wooden canvas. I think it's about 2.5 by 2.5 feet. The actual disc of Final Fantasy VII, with Cloud with his back turned to the front and he's facing the Shinra building, the box cover. Yeah. So he did that, and on the spine on the left where it usually says PlayStation, he put spoiler alert on the side, and it's just an amazing, amazing piece.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
I really love it, and I about shit a brick when he presented it to me at that party. I was so happy. It made the night. I was already having a good time, and it turned into a great time. But yeah, that's my showpiece. I really love that thing. You know, and it's one of a kind, literally. You know, no one else is ever going to have
that. That's the cool stuff.
And that's good stuff.
And it's actually, that's one of the things that you know, it's, It makes me happy that whether or not I have like another joystick that I end up making, you know, the Unistick that I have is very unique, and it's something that even if I don't use it much anymore, is something that can be displayed. So, you know, I definitely see the desire to have some uniqueness to your room, and that's, you know, that's important.
And I display my Unistick. It sits on one of my top shelves, and it's another showpiece as well. Again, no one else is going to have that.
Right.
And to me, like I said, that was my goal from the beginning. I didn't want things that could be mass produced and anyone can get. Whether or not I make it, I get it on eBay. It's limited, or whether or not it was made by someone else for me personally. I really, really take good pride in that. So, but that's important to me, and that's what I'm going to, moving on, what I'm going to continue to search for.
Cool.
I actually discovered Zazzle.com. It's a website. you can make so many different things, and I mean, anything from your imagination, you could just think of and say, okay, well, that's available there. I can make this and put anything I want on it, decorate it how I want it, color it the way I want it, and it'll just get shipped to me. And they're not expensive at all. And actually, one of the things that I saw that they do, I saw it on another website. I can't remember for the life of me where I saw it from. But on Zazzle, they have these wheelless skateboarding decks. That are made to hang up on the wall. And I'm like, oh man, a skateboarding deck that you can put anything on. And I looked, and one of the designs you can have, it's like this red background, and then white is like a stylish looking Nintendo controller. Old generation one Nintendo controller that you can put on there. And on the left, you can put anything you want. So I could put gamer on there. I could put spoiler alert. I can put like old school or something like that on it. It's something, anything on there, and make it my own, and no one else is going to have that. So, if you're looking to decorate, Zazzle.com is probably a really good place to really look for something unique, you know, that you can make yourself. So, I'm going to be looking there in the future for some other things, but just keep on that search of, you know, of things that no one else is going to have. Or if anything, if someone's going to have it, it's only going to be a very, very, very vast minority of people. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
Cool. All right. Jeff, what do you want in your man cave, man?
Oh, man. If we're doing like a money is no object kind of thing.
sure, why the fuck not?
Because my dream man cave would probably be having a two big screen TVs. I'd say about, not huge, like I'd say 48 inches, so pretty big. Either side of the room and connected, of course. So I can have like LAN parties and stuff just on in one
nice.
Room, which would be kind of cool
nice.
Shit. An actual Street Fighter 4 cabinet, but
nice.
Inside the guts would be... pretty much, I had to say like a modded Xbox or something like that, but I would have every single fighting game on there or like arcade game that
cool.
I can think of. So, can play any fighting game at any time or any arcade game at any time for that matter. And also, of course, I'd need to have some kind of driving cabinet to play like the Gran Turismo and the Forzas on.
There you go.
Forzas, yeah.
And that's, Forzas.
Yeah, to Forzas. And, yeah, that's pretty much it, really. And just have like two mad ass comfortable couches in there, and a couple like gamer chairs and stuff, and nothing like too. Of course, memorabilia everywhere, stuff I've collected over the years and stuff like that. But okay. That would be like my dream man cave. But I'd be happy with just like a room with just dedicated to gaming in whoever kind of fashion, like the kind of style of Spoilers right now. Something like kind of simple, but like not too over the top.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Cool.
Cool. Nice.
I'm not.
Oh, well, I need a bar.
It needs a bar.
Need a bar. Yeah. Give him a bar.
I haven't really thought about like the whole decorating thing, like Travis has. But you know, my thing about it is about what's set up in there. You know, what's with the games. You know, and that's what it's about for me. And you know, everyone's talking about these big screen TVs. I want a fucking 1080p projector. With
nice.
A screen that lowers down at the push of a button. I want, you know, two towers. Like, I've got kind of two entertainment towers. They're not really set up exactly the way I want them to right now, but, you know, I want to have, like, all my systems hooked up together in those towers, and do it that way, similar to what I've got now. And then, like, in places to sit, have, like Jeff said, two big comfy couches, but have it like movie stadium seating set up, like mm-hmm. where one couch is actually a little bit higher than the other. So the people in the back can see that kind of thing. And then, you know, the beer fridge or whatever. Actually, I would probably do something like my buddy Chris does. Travis, I'm talking about Serena and Chris, you know, what I'm talking about. He has a kegerator downstairs in his little section of basement.
I just moved the refrigerator in mine as well.
Yeah.
I got a little mini fridge as well. It actually is very, very important.
Well, this is a kegerator. He's got a keg in the fridge tapped with CO2
awesome.
In it.
Shit.
That is awesome.
Yeah, he's got tapped beer downstairs. And it's like they live in a townhome, right? So it's like it's actually three levels. But the first level is like it's basically the garage and the entrance into the house. So it basically is a garage. And then you walk in, and there's stairs. At the bottom of the stairs, he's got the kegerator set up, and I think it's fucking sweet, man. So, you know, if I was going to do something, it would probably be something like that. And then, you know, one of the things that I've always wanted to do, besides like have all my consoles and stuff, and you know, I love my arcade cabinets too, but I have more of a preference to the old school like cocktail table cabinets. You guys know what
mm-hmm.
I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I actually. Just yesterday, I had my chance to get one, and it was a cocktail table. It was local, so I could have gone and picked it up. And it had Ms. Pac-Man, Galaga, Donkey Kong, and Frogger.
Mm-hmm.
Frogger.
And
I'm disappointed too, buddy.
It's right now is just not the time for me to buy this thing. So I was looking at it, and you know, I talked to Crystal about it. And I was like, I'm going to try and get this if it's a reasonable price. I didn't want to spend. I kept moving my maximum price up. It's like it started at like 150, and then it was 200, and then it was 250, and then the price went up to 330. And I was like, I just can't justify it right now, you know. So that kind of went out the window. But Mr. Trickman Terry is selling his Frogger cocktail table cabinet, and him and I are in talks on a way to figure that out. So you know, obviously being that he's in Chicago, it's a little bit more difficult for me to get my hands on it, but we're trying to figure it out. But, you know, I like the, you know, the social aspect of those little cocktail tables. You know, I think they're pretty cool. So, that's pretty much it. That's all I've really thought about. You know, it's all about the games for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking about putting a, like somewhere in the corner, having like a couple of small chairs and maybe a standard definition TV. And they're not expensive. Go buy a couple of the older consoles, NES.
Yeah. Because yeah. They look way better Nintendo. On standard def. So.
Oh, yeah. You put them on high def TVs and they look like ass most of the time.
Yeah. Well, and I was thinking about putting like a little, maybe even put a sign, say retro area only. And have that, you know, just for the retro games and the retro systems.
That would be pretty cheap to set up, I bet.
It would be pretty cheap. I mean, a standard TV is what?
I can probably get
Can you buy standard TVs anymore?
You can get them. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then, what, $30 per console for like a Super Nintendo, Genesis at the most? I can't imagine them being more than that.
Hell, you can get a GameCube for $30. Hopefully you can find the other stuff for less than that.
I love that system. Got to be the most underrated system in the past 10 years. That thing is so good.
Well, I would give that to the Saturn, but yeah, the GameCube is up there. Yeah, well, I think the Saturn is very, very underrated.
Even the Saturn or maybe even the Dreamcast. Even though the Dreamcast is definitely rated high in terms of like hardcore gamers, but in terms of the public, I don't think they really cared.
Yeah. For me, I never played the Saturn or the Dreamcast. I've never did. And I was pissed off at you guys because at Indus Fest, you're like, oh, we're going to play the Dreamcast at Indus Fest at the North River Tavern.
Yeah, we never hooked it up.
So, you know, I've been holding that grudge for a long time.
Does it feel better to get it out?
You're lucky I took this job. I'm still pissed off about that.
There'll be many chances to play.
Cool. Well, before we move on, we have one very special voicemail that I wanted to save until the end.
Ooh.
So let's play that right now. Hey guys, before we get to this voicemail, I wanted to give everyone a heads up that we actually got this voicemail after we recorded the show. We just happened to know that Terry was going to send us something, so we kind of left a space for it, and we made comments on his basement afterwards. The comments that we make afterwards, we kind of recap some of the things that he already said in his voicemail, but hopefully that won't be too annoying for you. And his voicemail was actually more than twice the length that you're going to hear. He actually gave audio examples of each of the arcade games that he was mentioning. I am going to actually paste that at the end of the show, so if you guys want to listen to that that version of the voicemail, it will be at the end, so stay tuned after the show.
Guys, this is Trickman Terry coming at you live from the gaming basement. Chris was asking what people had in their dream game rooms, and he said that he thought of me when he was asking this question, which is quite flattering. So I was all too happy to oblige him by giving you guys an audio tour of the basement. It's obviously not as cool as a video tour, but it'll have to do. It is a podcast, after all. Now, I have plenty of game systems that range from the old, such as Atari, Odyssey 2, Vectrex, to the newer systems like Wii, Xbox 360, and PS3. Oh, and a couple of Japanese slot machines as well. But being a nostalgia nut, I couldn't forget about a part of my gaming life that was so influential to me while I was growing up, which is why I do own some arcade games and a pinball machine as well. So let's go around the basement. We'll start the tour with Arcade Legends. Now, Arcade Legends is the first machine I ever got, and Saber G thought it would cure me of my arcade addiction since it had so many emulated arcade games on it, which is now nearly 300. No such luck. It only fueled the fire and got me wanting to collect the actual real vintage machines. Don't get me wrong, this machine is incredible for all it can do with 2 8-way joysticks, 6 buttons each, and a trackball. This machine is pretty much made for Street Fighter II aficionados, and it has a lot of the versions on there. Next we'll go to my Space Shuttle pinball machine. I tend to like the Williams pinball machines the best, and when I got this one for a steal, I couldn't pass it up. Now we'll go to R-Type. This is one of my favorite shmups of all time. I spent a lot of time getting this one back in playable condition after I got it, and I'm really happy with the way it turned out, so it's definitely one of my favorites. Now let's go to Gorf. This is kind of a combination game of Galaxian and Space Invaders with a big boss ship at the end. And one of the first machines to use synthesized voice as a taunting mechanism.
Desert toy.
Yep, as you can hear. And since it's so old, I'm really happy that it's in as good a condition and good a shape as it is. So, next up is Pango. And funny story, I found this game at a resale shop of all places. It was in the furniture section, and there was half off everything that day that plugged in or took batteries, so I got it at a really good price. And it's also in really good shape for its age. Now on to one of my newest acquisitions, Arkanoid 2, The Revenge of Doe. There was a kit for this game to install into older games that arcade owners didn't think were bringing in enough quarters. So this is a cocktail conversion of an old Centipede machine, and the monitor and the spinners needed to be fixed on it, and after that was done, it played great. Now I have a couple of others, such as Frogger, but they're under repair, so I'll leave it at that. Now if I were to add anything else to my dream game room, I'd have to move, because I'm out of room for any more large arcade machines. But if I had a larger space, I'd definitely be adding a Berserk machine, Tron, Double Dragon, Star Wars Arcade, Quartet, Galaga, and a Pinbot, and a Black Knight 2000 pinball machine. Yeah, I'd definitely like one of those. Well, that's all. I hope you enjoyed my audio tour, and you guys have a great show. Thanks a lot.
Cool. So thank you, Terry, for sending that voicemail.
Nice.
If there is anybody that knows how to do a man cave, it's Mr. Trickman Terry. That is where.
Yeah, the first time I saw it was actually the first time I met a lot of... Well, it's the first time I met Chris and Jason, for that matter,
actually,
but a lot of people from VGEvo, and I went downstairs in his basement, and I was just like, wow.
It's jaw-dropping, like, isn't it?
Wow.
I want to go so bad, and like, when's the next... Isn't it like next week or the week after?
Yeah, it's the night. Yeah, I think it's next weekend.
I found out last minute. Man, if I had like a month's notice, I would have loved to have gone.
Next year, man.
Next year.
We're trying.
Yeah, but it's an awesome, awesome man cave.
Yeah, it really
is.
He's
got literally every console you could think of. He's got a stand-up arcade cabinet with over, I think it's 300 games on it or something like that.
Yeah,
it's 200 games.
He's got quite a few. He's got quite a few.
It's got like Street Fighter on there,
and then he's got other stand up cabinets like Zork or something.
Yeah,
and
he's got
a full pinball machine down there, and he's got a bar. It is sweet up. It is badass.
And he literally has like, I think he had his Genesis or might have been his Atari hooked up to this old ass. I think it was like old ass computer monitor. I can't really remember, but that old ass screen.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was funny because I was like, for last time I saw the system, it was probably on something like this. Like,
yeah.
He probably hasn't disconnected it since. But
yeah,
you got like everything down there. And so much memorabilia and so much swag and stuff like all mm-hmm. over the place.
Well, that's just years and years of like EGM and
yeah
just
exactly.
being in the business.
Yeah. I'm jealous, man. I'm jealous. I can't go this year.
Mark's got a pretty decent one too. Mark from PS Nation.
Yeah, Mark and Jess, they have a really cool basement too. They've got he's got a bar set up in his, and he's got a couple big screens set up and with all the good systems hooked up, and then he's got a couple stand up machines too. But yeah, it's pretty cool stuff, man. These people know how to live. I'll tell you.
Right.
Word.
All right. Well, I think we've. Now that I want to go spend thousands and thousands of dollars, I think
yeah,
we should
move
on.
The hard part. Gaming is an expensive hobby.
No shit. All right, so let's do some new releases. What do you think?
Yeah, let's do it up.
All right, so
Repeat.
I have a voicemail from Repeat. So let me play this real quick.
And now it's time for another edition of
That's Not Repeat.
Random Questions.
Whoops.
Way to go, Chris.
Keep it in.
Fuck that. I get to edit this shit.
Of course.
Jeff fucks up, but no, he doesn't get edited out.
I don't have my headphones on to monitor what's playing. Hold on, let me change this out. Here we go. All right. Let's try this again.
So the big release of interest next week is nothing, and that's for all systems.
Let me tell you what, that repeat is good. Like, when the games come out, he lets us know.
That's right.
Thanks.
I'm going to pick up nothing on the PS3. It's going to be great.
I'm going to get nothing for the Wii, which is, oh, wait, that's the same every week.
And he, you know what? He is absolutely right. There's literally nothing of interest coming out next week. It's like, there's nothing coming out for PlayStation, for any of the PlayStation consoles or the 360. The Wii's getting like Garfield, and the DS is getting like Playmobil Pirates or some stupid shit like that. And there's some throwaway stuff on PC. I mean, the most interesting thing on the PC is EverQuest Underfoot. I don't even know what the hell it is, if it's like an expansion for EverQuest or what. But it's getting like Spellforce 2 and Europa Universalis 3, and that's new releases right there. So,
all right, so pick of the week?
Pick of the week. My pick of the week is Pixel Junk Shooter.
I was just going to say Pixel Junk. I just played it before we started recording. It's pretty fun.
Nice.
I'm liking it.
Yeah, it's good.
That or get Torchlight. I know it didn't like came out.
Oh,
a while ago,
yeah, good point.
Yeah.
Torchlight.
That too. Or Torchlight.
I'm going to pick up Saboteur.
Oh,
we've been talking
nice.
About it in a thread, and the reviews, what I've been reading in the reviews, the problems they've been having with the game, honestly, don't seem to be things that would bother me. I think I'm going to pick up that, yeah.
Okay, cool.
All right. Nice. Awesome.
Well, let's move on then. Hey, Travis.
Yo.
We have any emails?
We have a couple.
It sounds so weird asking you that question. Okay.
I know.
Go ahead.
All right. The first one comes from our buddy Southern Coyote. Yeah. Hey, Indus crew, Southern Coyote here. I wanted to say welcome, Travis, and good luck. Thanks, buddy. Now, Jack Bauer's questions were good, but they were not complete.
Uh-oh.
There is only one question that will tell us everything we need to know about you, Travis. Is Crackdown a superhero game?
Oh, shit.
The answer's no.
Oh, fuck you,
game.
Dude.
No,
whatever.
It's not.
You're actually being serious?
I'm being dead serious.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Jesus. I completely agree with Jason. I'm sorry.
You just made Jason proud, and you made...
You have superpowers.
You
have superpowers.
You have super strength. You can jump super high. You can run super fast. But you're not a superhero. Fuck that
shit. It's not a normal hero. You're not just a normal dude running around.
So if you're not a superhero and you're not a normal hero, what are you?
It's a super cop game. I don't know. You're not a superhero. It doesn't...
So cops aren't heroes? What are you trying to say, Travis? Are you saying cops aren't heroes?
I may or may not have gotten a ticket yesterday, so no, they're not here. No, it doesn't fit the criteria. This may sound like a cop-out, but honestly... If it doesn't have a comic book made about it, it's not a superhero game.
Infamous doesn't have a superhero.
Now here's the deal. I tried to look for when y'all originally had. I just said it, Chris. I'm sorry, but when you guys,
I missed it. you would have gotten away with it, dude.
Originally had this discussion. I tried to look online. I Googled, Crackdown in a comic book and see if it was a super... And there's just nothing to be found. But there is, actually, I thought there was an Infamous comic book that's being made after the fact. Wasn't right, there?
Well, here's
either
deal.
Way, it doesn't matter. There wasn't one at the time.
But
so just because...
Now.
So if so it's not a superhero game, but the second a comic book comes out, it's all of a sudden a superhero game? That doesn't make any sense.
And here's my question. Are you saying that it would be impossible to make a superhero a comic about the leads from Crackdown? They could easily make a comic. They made a comic about SWAT. So it's like a fucking SWAT team comic. They could easily make one about the people in Crackdown, the guys that run Crackdown. Superhero game.
To me, it just doesn't follow the criteria.
Is City of Villains
criteria.
A superhero
it
game?
Just doesn't, it doesn't. It doesn't. It doesn't scream comic book.
Is
to me.
City of Heroes? Are they comic book games?
And I think that's
I mean, superhero
what,
games.
They're trying to go for the fake comic book feel. They're trying to make it like its own. Like you're playing a comic book. That's what they were trying to do. And you're not trying to play a comic book in Crackdown.
Yeah, you're
saying... I think where Jason and I really agree is that when you... And I'll be honest with you, we've never even talked about this before, but where I think we agree is, like, when I play Spider-Man... Okay, I know it's a comic, but it's like, it just screams comic book stuff to me. Like, it just... It's nonstop. When, when I'm playing all these... Even Infamous, yeah, it just screams, like it's a comic book or even, like, a superhero movie. It just screams that. For some reason, Crackdown didn't really do that for me. I don't know if it was just generic, okay, you're this cop, now go, collect the orbs, jump high, get your super strength and kill these bosses.
Hey, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
Superhero game.
Superhero game.
whatever. Moving on.
Moving on.
He does have a little bit of the question of the week, but he does say, since Jeff is chained up in Jason's man cave, does that mean Tawny's available now?
Oh! Making advances.
I saw Greg at Indus Fest. He was macking on all the girls.
No, I was
watch out. He was a little drunk, though. And by a little, I mean a lot.
But yeah,
he was really drunk.
I don't remember much.
He had a good time.
Yeah.
So anyway, he finishes up. Have a great show, Greg. P.S. Please put me in the drawing for the GOG contest for this month.
You have been placed in the drawing, sir.
Cool. Yeah. Thanks, so.
And I think we have just one more regular email. It's from our buddy Jordan. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I'm going to read this, how this is done, like how it's been written, spelling, grammar, and everything. So just bear with me. Hi, guys. I'm SnakeGuys135. I'm not a new listener, but I'm probably the youngest. I'm 13. I thought I should send you...
Holy crap.
I should send you...
Why are you listening to our show?
UU New Year's Revolution. For Jason, you have to beat the whole Elder Scrolls, including Arena. Jeff, yours is to not sat who gives a shit for 1 year. I bet you can't do it if you don't choose that. Then you have to beat the whole Elder Scrolls, Arena, Vandafell, Morrowind, and Oblivion. Vandafell is actually Daggerfall. For Jason, you can choose to give up saying who gives a shit for 6 months because Jeff, J-E-F-F, needs his discipline. This is Snake Eyes out. Yes, I sent this from my iPod. So.
Okay, well,
explains a lot of the, a lot of the words.
Yeah, so I guess, Jeff, you need discipline.
Can you not say who gives a shit for a year?
Well, I probably could. I don't want to.
We can't do that. That's part of our show. We can't do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, sorry, Jordan.
I'm still sticking to a New Year's resolution I made like 10 years ago that I still haven't done yet. So,
what was that?
Quitting smoking. Literally been like the same one every single year. This year's for real, though. Hopefully.
All right. We do have some random questions. Should we do random questions?
Yeah, definitely.
All right, here we go.
I love me some random questions.
And now it's time for another edition of Random Questions from Aces High.
All right, guys. This week, I want to know if you like sushi, if you're allergic to anything that you know of, and do you really think that Fight Club should have been inducted into the Guy Hall of Fame?
Oh, I'm going to feel some hatred on this one. I know it. All right, sushi. Do you guys like sushi?
Love sushi.
Love it.
Love it.
Really good.
That was easy.
Yeah.
I am a big fan of the sushi.
I'm a huge fan.
Actually, whenever it's funny, whenever I have to go to like stop at Publix on the way home from work to pick up something because Crystal says, "Oh, I need this because I'm pregnant." I'm like, "Okay, but you're sending me to Publix hungry, so I'm picking up sushi." Yeah. but yeah, love it. Allergic to anything?
I don't think so. Not that I know of, no.
Ooh, I just found out recently that I was allergic to something. I don't know exactly what it is, but my skin is allergic to something. I wear contacts, and sometimes for months at a time, I just won't take them out. I'll just sleep in them. I know it's bad, and I got to stop, but it's just something that I do. And, sometimes my eyes get really red and itchy, and it's just, I need eye drops. And someone had one of my assistant managers at my store actually has this little bottle of eye drops, but it's prescribed eye drops. I'm like, okay, it's eye drops, it's got to work. So I went bloop bloop in both eyes, and then like 5 minutes later, someone that works for me looked over.
What the fuck's wrong with your face?
What is wrong with your face? I'm like, what? Says you have these two streaking red lines going down your face like you've been crying fire or something.
Crying
I'm like,
fire?
What? And I looked in a mirror. That's literally what she said. And I looked into the mirror and where the eye drops drip down after I've dripped it into my eyes, like two red lines from there was some sort of chemical reaction that my skin was not agreeing with.
And you don't know what it is yet?
Don't know what was in there.
Oh,
but
shit, that's rough.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Bet you're not buying those eye drops anymore.
Yeah, like I remember the, something like that when I was really young, putting some kind of, I guess, we're family's on vacation somewhere and we're going to the beach. And I was putting on some suntan lotion, and I broke out in like this crazy ass rash. But to this day, I don't remember what it was. So I've used all sorts of different kind of like sunscreen and stuff like that. Never had that. It happened ever again. So, other than that, yeah, I don't think I'm allergic to anything that I know of.
Hmm.
Which is good.
Mostly, I am allergic to cats. It's really the only thing that affects my everyday life. It means that I can't have a cat, which kind of sucks. But I've actually been getting allergy shots for it, and it's working because I was actually at when I was in Florida with Kill Knight and Kelly. They have a dog and a cat, and I was petting their cat. And you know, one of the things that used to happen really bad is like if I pet a cat, if my hand came anywhere near my face. My eyes would get all red and watery, and I'd start like getting stuffy and that kind of thing. And you know, I was petting the cat, you know, didn't, you know, have to go and wash my hands or anything afterwards, and I didn't have any problems whatsoever. So the allergy shots are working.
Good stuff.
Yeah, so hopefully I won't be allergic to cats anymore. And right now Crystal and I have actually been talking about getting a cat, but right now we're worried about whether or not Liam's going to be allergic when he's born. So we're going to go ahead and wait for that and see what happens. But, yeah, that's about it.
Cool. Thanks, Aces.
All right. And this is where...
Oh, no, there's another question.
There's another question, and I think this is where I'm going to get my hatred. Fight Club, should it have been inducted into the Men's Movie Hall of Fame? No.
I don't know. No?
No.
I can go either way. I'd probably say no too.
When I think of
something like Swingers and
Swingers was awesome.
or something like even as new as Office Space or even what's it called? The Hangover. Like that's gonna be fun.
I haven't seen that.
It's really funny. And like even 40-year-old version, that's a good guy movie.
40-year-old.
If Fight Club's just it's a good movie. Of course, but I don't consider that a guy movie.
I didn't like it either. I read the book before, and I thought the movie was kind of trash.
I just knew exactly what was going on as soon as it started. You know, it was very predictable for me, and it was
make it obvious.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Obvious. It's ridiculously obvious in the whole movie. You're just like, why the hell is this happening? It's stupid. I don't know. I was not a big fan of the movie, so you know, if you guys want to send hate mail, it's email at interactivedistractions.com.
Yeah, that's weird. Yeah, all three of us are no, huh?
That's amazing. I thought I was going to be the only one. I thought I was going to be just defending my stance. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, no.
Nah, no problem.
All right, let's give something away.
Cool.
All right.
So I'm going to random.org. We are giving away Duke Nukem 3D, sponsored thanks to goodoldgames.com, GOG.com. Let's see. I'm generating my random number, and the number is 10. 10 is... I'm sorry, I don't have music, guys. That was Jason's deal. Ryan McCusker. So, Ryan, congratulations. You have won Duke Nukem 3D from goodoldgames.com.
Congrats.
I'd sing, but my throat's killing me.
I'm sick today, too, so I'm not singing either.
I am not
sick, but I can't sing.
So. But congratulations. Hope you enjoy the game, and hope you enjoy the show. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Speaking of giving stuff away, as we said earlier in the show, we were going to talk about what Fergus gave us a few episodes ago. He gave us a code for Left 4 Dead 2, downloadable via Steam.
Which is awesome, by the way. Good job.
Very awesome. Thanks. So thank you, Fergus, for that. Here's the deal. There is a thread on VG Evo now, and we have actually also posted it up on our website. So you can either send us an email, put a post in the thread, or you can even leave a comment on the website. But this is what he wants to know. Tell us how you would deal with realizing you forgot to buy your partner a Christmas present. And that is the question you have to answer. And he said it could be real or it could be made up, but it just has to be funny. So funniest one wins. And, you know, I think I might be getting in touch with Fergus about this and let him choose the winner. I might do that way.
Cool.
All right.
So, yeah, get those posts or emails in and, you know, get a chance to win Left 4 Dead 2. Awesome game. All right. So we got question of the week and then we can get out of here, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yep.
Do we have a question of the week?
We do have a question of the week, actually, Jeff, because we've been talking a lot about different action games lately, especially with Dante's Inferno, that demo just came out. And
I play that demo again before we started recording. I like it.
It is good.
Yeah. It is good. It's very good.
Yeah.
And if people haven't figured it out yet, this is the day after we recorded the first time.
Yeah, sorry about that. We kind of, I don't know if you'll be able
and
to
I'm
tell where we switched
sober
it up.
I'm a lot more sober and feel like crap.
Oh, I'm a lot more sober. I think I'm going to start recording sober from now on. I like
it. My internet dropped when we were almost done with the show, so we had to reschedule the rest of the show for today. But so with all the action games coming out, are we seeing an oversaturation of the action game genre, kind of like we did with first-person shooters in the past? Yeah, there's a ton coming out. God of War 3 comes out. Bayonetta's coming out. Darksiders, Dante's Inferno. And then, of course, we got Ninja Gaiden, Sigma 2, and
Castlevania's coming out soon.
Yeah, that's true.
That'll be coming out,
and that's going to be more of this more of the action type game like what we're seeing right now. Anyway, so so that is your question of the week. You can answer the question by sending us an email. That address is email@interactivedistractions.com. You can also
it's a website.
Actually, it was an email address, but that's okay.
Oh, bitch. See, I'm working on replacement, guys. Give me a couple of weeks. I'm working.
It's gotta come naturally.
It does.
You can also send us a voicemail. You can call our voicemail number. That is 706-760-4337.
It's almost late, but it's not.
Yes, that is correct. You can also get us on Google Voice, or and that is interactivedistractions@gmail.com. I'm kind of fumbling over my words after a week off, but that's okay. Follow us on Twitter.
You're naming everything.
Follow us on Twitter. It's Indus Chris, Indus Travis, Indus Jason, and Indus Geoff.
G-E-O-F-F.
Geoff and the Masters of Canada. Okay. And that's about it. Facebook group, Interactive Distractions Podcast. And that's going to start being updated more frequently, we promise.
Yes, absolutely.
We're really trying to, with the new website and everything, we're really trying to get as much content out to you guys as possible. So we hope you would enjoy that. And I think that is it. Do you guys have anything to add before we wrap up and get the hell out of here?
I don't think so.
Just back to the website. We're posting a lot, guys. Please comment. Let us know how we're doing.
Yeah, definitely go check out the website. You know, register, leave some comments. You know, we really want some feedback. We want to know if you guys are enjoying, you know, what we're doing. Cause, you know, it's not like we ever get any breaking news or anything like that, but, you know, we do like to share our opinions about some of the shit that's happening in the gaming industry. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what we're doing on the website now. So, let us know what you think and, you know, see where it goes.
Please.
Cool. Well, thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please tell a few friends about us and please leave us a review on iTunes. And news, apparently, we are finally on the Zune Marketplace. Finally.
What?
106 fucking episodes. We're finally on the Zune Marketplace. I don't know if it had something to do with our RSS feed because the RSS feed changed, or what it was, but all of a sudden I got an email from someone saying that we were on the Zune Marketplace. So if you're on the Zune Marketplace, leave us a review over there too. We'd appreciate it. Every review you give us gets us more listeners, and that's what we're looking for. So until next week, my name is Chris.
I'm Travis.
I'm Jeff.
Play your games. Talk to you next week.
Peace.
Guys, this is Trickman Terry coming at you live from the gaming basement. Chris was asking what people had in their dream game rooms, and he said that he thought of me when he was asking this question, which is quite flattering. So I was all too happy to oblige him by giving you guys an audio tour of the basement. It's obviously not as cool as a video tour, but it'll have to do. It is a podcast after all. Now, I have plenty of game systems that range from the old, such as Atari, Odyssey 2, Vectrex, to the newer systems like Wii, Xbox 360, and PS3. Oh, and a couple of Japanese slot machines as well. But being a nostalgia nut, I couldn't forget about a part of my gaming life that was so influential to me while I was growing up, which is why I do own some arcade games and a pinball machine as well. So let's go around the basement. We'll start the tour with Arcade Legends. Now, Arcade Legends is the first machine I ever got, and Saber G thought it would cure me of my arcade addiction since it had so many emulated arcade games on it, which is now nearly 300. No such luck. It only fueled the fire and got me wanting to collect the actual real vintage machines. Don't get me wrong, this machine is incredible for all it can do, with two 8-way joysticks, 6 buttons each, and a trackball. This machine is pretty much made for Street Fighter II aficionados, and it has a lot of the versions on there, as you will be able to hear in a moment. I'm going to put on Street Fighter II Turbo Hyper Fighting. Gives me a thing of how to play. So let's choose Blanca. Of course. There we go. Audio tour recommencing. Blanca doing his thing. And you stink. Yeah, it's hard to do this while you're trying to record something. Oh, you jerk. I still beat him. Next, we'll go to my space shuttle pinball machine. I tend to like the Williams pinball machines the best. And when I got this one for a steal, I couldn't pass it up. You may recognize the sounds from Pinball Hall of Fame, the Williams collection, since it's one of the tables on there. Older, from 1984. And here we go. Now we'll go to R-Type. This is one of my favorite shmups of all time. I spent a lot of time getting this one back in playable condition after I got it, and I'm really happy with the way it turned out, so it's definitely one of my favorites. You can hear all the button pushing. Very intense game. A lot of fun. Now let's go to Gorf. This is kind of a combination game of Galaxian and Space Invaders with a big boss ship at the end. And one of the first machines to use synthesized voice as a taunting mechanism.
Desert Delay.
Yep, as you can hear. And since it's so old, I'm really happy that it's in as good a condition and good a shape as it is. So let's do some Gorf playing here.
Gorf the Admiral Fox. Attack, attack.
Now this just uses one stick. You can play this game one-handed because you've got a trigger button right under your index finger, so you can move the ship any way you want and fire away. Show you when you've done.
die.
Another enemy ship destroyed.
Haunting you through the whole thing.
Next up is Pango. And funny story, I found this game at a resale shop of all places. It was in the furniture section, and there was half off everything that day that plugged in or took batteries, so I got it at a really good price. And it's also in really good shape for its age. So let's play some Pango here. Button.
Of Pango is to push blocks into enemies, and like blocks of ice into these enemies called snow bees. And they're really sucky bastards. Hate them. They're a big pain in the butt.
Now on to one of my newest acquisitions, Arkanoid 2, The Revenge of Doe. There was a kit for this game to install into older games that arcade owners didn't think were bringing in enough quarters. So this is a cocktail conversion of an old Centipede machine, and the monitor and the spinners needed to be fixed on it, and after that was done, it played great. So let's give this one a whirl. Put my quarter in. Push my player button. One player. So that's basically it. It's just, hit the ball with your paddle and hit the bricks and destroy all the bricks in the level and you get to go on to the next level. That's about it. But it's really, really, really fun. And gives you lots of power-ups to play with as well. Now I have a couple of others such as Frogger, but they're under repair, so I'll leave it at that. Now if I were to add anything else to my dream game room, I'd have to move because I'm out of room for any more large arcade machines. But if I had a larger space, I'd definitely be adding a Berserk machine, Tron, Double Dragon, Star Wars Arcade, Quartet, Galaga, and a Pinbot and a Black Knight 2000 pinball machine. Yeah, I'd definitely like one of those. Well, that's all. I hope you enjoyed my audio tour, and you guys have a great show. Thanks a lot.